Thank you, Bob the Beast Sapp. May he retire in peace. This is the Word in the Street podcast coming to you live. It is Tuesday. Was it June now? Damn, the year is half over. June 3rd of the year 2014, a.k.a. the year 2000 and chill. As always, people, with me, my co-host and producer, Jake from the MMA podcast. What do you hear? What do you say, Stone Cold Jake?
Give me a hell yeah. I said give me a hell yeah.
Doing well, doing well. Just follow us on Twitter at the MMA podcast. Glad to be here.
Sorry, all right. That one got to me too. It is ridiculous as hell in the Word in the Street podcast. Like I've said it before and I'll say it again. It is basically the Wayne's World of MMA podcasts. But tonight we have a special show for you. Also with us is co-host, co-producer, co-owner, booker, agent, coach extraordinaire, the living legend himself from Team Sonnen, MMA training coach, boxing coach. You just saw him on Tough Brazil 3. His team won again. He is Team Sonnen's coach, the living legend, Jamie Huey. How are you doing tonight, coach?
Undisputed and undefeated, man. The Team Dark Side bad guys do it again.
Always, man. You guys came back from being... Team Vanderlei was 4-0 against you. It looked like you guys were buried. It looked like I would have thrown in the towel. I was almost going to throw in the towel. I was going to stop doing this podcast. But Team Sonnen rallied on the show, came back, and won the whole damn thing fight-wise. And we'll break down Tough Brazil 3, the finale that went down on Saturday. But tonight, we have a special surprise guest. I don't believe it. It is actually his fourth time on the show, on the Word in the Street podcast. He probably doesn't even know it because honestly, but you know, I was surprised when I looked at the records here. It is his fourth appearance. He is a UFC fighter, former Team Sonnen and alumnus from Tough 17, the Ultimate Fighter 17. Epic fighter. There's, what can I say? People, it is Uriah Hall, UFC fighter, on with us. Uriah, how are you doing, man? How are you feeling tonight?
What's up, guys? I'm feeling good.
Excellent. The usual. Podcast and trying to talk MMA, but really, let's talk some life in general here. I mean, it's your fourth time back on the show. I can't thank you enough for coming on. So let's switch it up a little bit. Let's try to have some real talk. And like I was saying before we went live, not the usual hack questions. Uriah, first of all, you're going to fight at UFC 175 against, I think his name is Thiago Santos, but we'll get to that in a second. But what are you doing right now tonight? What city, what country, what state are you in? What's happening with Uriah Hall lately?
Uriah has just been chilling, been focused, been growing, been learning. I'm in the awesome state of Portland, you know, and having some fun. Portland's so nice and green. It's a great place to get away. Not green, but like, you know, just a lot of trees. I still can't even make that come out right. But it's just, I love the wilderness. I love the atmosphere and everyone's so nice. Everyone's too nice. It's the total opposite of New York City where people are always saying hi to you. And I was explaining to someone that, you know, I'm not used to that. If someone says hi to you in New York, it's like, all right, what's up, man? What do you want?
Yeah,
everyone's so nice.
What's the angle?
Yep. I love the atmosphere, and I'm chilling with Coach Clayton Hires, our awesome Team Dark Side leader. Actually, no, I think he's vice president. Chill's the leader. and I'm chilling right now playing some Resident Evil 6.
Resident Evil 6, PlayStation or Xbox? Or computer.
PlayStation, baby.
Hell yeah, man. I just got my PS4 a month ago. Me and Jake did because we're actually after the interviews here, we're going to play the UFC demo live. We're going to stream it live, do some commentary or whatever. First question, man. PS4, have you had a chance to play the new UFC game yet?
I haven't had a chance to play it yet. I've been seeing a lot of, you know, videos on it. I haven't got a chance to play it. I never actually, believe it or not, played the UFC game. I think I played it once because some kid was like, oh, I'll beat you in any video games. I'm like, dude, pick a game. And he brought that game out. And
he picked
at the
your
time,
own.
I think it was for Xbox. But, you know what? I never really played it because, to me, it was kind of slow because I'm used to the Tekken 3D dimensional fast pace so much. But, you know what? I'll try the new one, see how it is. Hopefully create myself since I'm not worthy to be in it.
Yeah.
And,
that...
go from there.
I didn't want to
bring
it
up. You're not the only one.
Yeah, a lot of people got screwed out of this game. They only put in about 100 fighters in the new EA UFC game, as far as launch goes. There's no doubt in my mind.
You would think, you know, for a lot of people compete in it, they would put him in, but it's whatever.
Yeah, no, it's complete bullshit. I'll say it, man. 100 fighters.
I'll co-sign. One thing getting left out, but it's a whole other thing getting replaced with somebody that wasn't even on the team, man. I'm still pissed off about that.
It's almost like they make a Madden game and only release it with like half of the teams in the league. It doesn't make sense, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't even played it yet, and I think I have so many ideas that they can put in it. I know they probably have a little, you know, tough thing going on where you can start from the bottom and make it to the top, but at least, you know, throw it. Maybe it was too much work.
You got Drake mode.
Like I said, it's whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it is Drake mode. In the new EA UFC game, the career mode actually does start with the Ultimate Fighter. You have to go through tough in the new game. But if you have a PS4, just get online with it, and you can download. It just dropped today, the EA UFC game demo on PS4. I was playing it last night. It's pretty cool. It basically only gives you it's one fight demo. You can only be Alexander Gustafsson versus John Jones. You can have your pick either, and we've been playing around with that a lot, man. Wait a second. I know they did a whole bunch when they were putting this game together. EA was. I know they did a whole bunch of fighter scans. Are you willing to confirm or deny that they didn't? They haven't scanned you yet for the game.
They did scan me, but maybe I lost my a couple of my fights, and they were like, "Well, this Negro is not as worthy as we thought," and then they just kind of they just blocked me out. But like, well, he's not cool enough. Maybe when they approach me, they're like, no.
I think what they're trying to do is they're going to nickel and dime everybody, and I'm going to have to pay $1.99 to download you into the game. I'm going to have to do the same with Kelvin, let's face it.
Or put some of the, I don't know. Maybe if I was in there to motivate me to buy it, I probably wouldn't have played it that much. Anyway. I probably was, oh man, look, I'm playing it myself. No pun intended. And, you know. But whatever.
If there's a Uriah Hall and a Kelvin, you guys are the first guys I'm using. Honestly, like
that'd be funny.
I gotta ask you now. And actually, I do want to say, in the demo, in John Jones' corner, you see Mike Dolce and Greg Jackson. They're both just like bald white men with the facial hair. And it's like, why them but not Coach Dolce. Jamie Huey? Yeah, why?
I love Dolce. He's a man. He's cool.
But why Dolce?
Hey, man, he's doing big things. You know, he popular guy. You know? I know he helped me a lot on the show with the weight cut. So who knows?
Yeah, but in the video game, like he's like totally like he's doing weird moves. Like he's pounding on the fighter banner in the background. And it looks really, what's the word? It looks really fancy, is the word.
I gotta see this. No, I definitely gotta download this demo.
And yeah, they totally screwed Coach Jamie, man. If he's not in tough mode,
I'm not just even me. Clayton wasn't in there. They left Scott and Vinny out. You know, I mean, I'm glad Mike was in there. Good for Mike. Mike's one of our guys, so I'm glad they got that right. But then they put coaches that weren't even on our show on our team. And you know, I mean, shout out to John Wood. He's a good friend of mine. He's my buddy. That no disrespect. He was on John Jones' team. Put him on John Jones' Ultimate Fighting team. But when you let, when you put a coach from a different team on our team, that just kind of, I don't know, man. I just thought, I thought EA shit the bet on that. I got a beef with EA Sports. So
you're totally right.
Well, you got to make it. Apparently we haven't made it yet, so I'm right there with you, Jamie. We haven't made it yet.
Maybe when we win three Ultimate Fighter seasons, then yeah, maybe we'll start to get some goddamn respect around this piece.
I'm not on the podcast.
All I'm saying is you've got two bald guys in the game already. How hard is it to make a third bald guy?
Hey,
I mean,
that's the way I look at it, I'm already a real life video game character, so I'm
that's
cool
true.
With that.
They're bringing you out the last minute just to, like, honestly, they're milking us out of more money when you get released in the DLC, the downloadable characters package. I know what they're doing, Uriah. But wait, for the people that don't know, like, I honestly have no idea. You got scanned for the game. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit? Like, what's that like? What's all involved? How long did that shit take?
It took about maybe 5-10 minutes. You know, just,
really?
We were doing a photo shoot for, I guess, one of the fights or whatever. And then next thing you know, they were just like, oh, you know, we're coming to the EA game. And you're probably in it. Oh, thanks. And I go, oh, we just want you to stand here and turn around and we'll take each angle of you. And I did it, and that was it. So I guess I wasn't worried, like I said.
Well, what I hear they do is, like, they'll scan. Basically, they're just scanning your face, basically. And then...
Oh, yeah. I did that, too. I forgot about that. Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, and then they bring in...
At the Super Bowl party.
Super Bowl party. Jesus, they were scanning people during the Super Bowl? What the hell?
Yeah, man.
So basically, what I'm hearing is, and tell me if I'm wrong, they'll scan your actual face just to get your likeness, but then they'll have some dude, just some random MMA guy that they hear about, like, replicate your moves with all the, on the green screen with all the balls attached to them, the electronic sensors.
Which is straight up dumb.
Yeah, like, would you be willing to go in a full, like, 3-day session, just like recording all your moves on camera, like wearing like a
Hell
blue
yeah,
man
I'll do
group
that.
Outfit.
Are you kidding me? Hell yeah, I'll do that. I'll be more than happy, but like, not only am I in the game, but I'm actually fighting like myself. That would be cool.
Yeah, man, you will be in the game. I'm calling it right now.
I'm not really looking too forward to it. It's whatever. It's a game. You know, I'm on some better and more important things. You know, like actually talking to kids and being a better inspiration. A video game is a video game. I like video games, but it's not going to ruin my day since I didn't make it in it. It kind of sucks, but it's like, whatever. I'm over it. Next.
It was a pretty damn short list, but I swear to you, you will be added. But you are, you are a gamer, though.
I'm a gamer, man. I'm a big gamer. I'm a fighting gamer. That makes sense. I'm a fighter, a fighting gamer. Is that how you say it? I like fighting games. There
makes
you go.
Sense to me. Yeah, dude. And honestly, like whenever people think of Uriah Hall fight coming up, whenever they see it, honestly, let's not kid anybody. What the fans want to see is some sort of video game, like movie type performance out of you.
Yeah, it's hard to do that, though, because a lot of these guys that I fight, they go out there and like, well, let's take them down. We can't stand with them. And I pretty much challenge anyone of these guys to stand with me. But you know what? It's good, too, because as a good mindset, it teaches me to be more alert, more ready, to amplify more in my ground game and, you know, defense. And I've been working on a lot of that stuff, man. I'm surprising myself right now with my ground game. And, you know, I'm just excited to kind of go out there and be me, because I know when I'm me, man, even I'm amazed. I will watch some tapes of myself, and I'm like, holy, did I do that? Because I'll zone out, you know, I'll blank out, and I'll just react. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just, I was rewatching the kick heard around the world last night on YouTube, your tough knockout on poor Adam Seller, who was on the show and did confirm that he was still alive after that. But I was watching that yesterday, man. It's so quick. It's like a twitch. It's like a reflex. It's like that was so fast. Like, does a part of you worry when you hit something like that? When you hit moves like that, is a part of you worrying in the back of your mind that, damn, I just got lucky right now? Or are you comfortable enough with being like, that is all technique? I know exactly how to hit a man with that shit every time.
I know exactly where to put my hands and my feet on someone. I mean, you pinpoint a part of your body, I'll hit it, and I'll hit it repeatedly. I'm a perfectionist at heart, so, you know, with the whole martial arts background and me being a perfectionist, I aim to perfect each and every one of my technique, and then I try to advance myself by saying, okay, well, how can I throw it differently? You know, can I do this differently? I'm always learning. I make mistakes in training. Good mistakes where I'm like, whoa, what did I do that before? And, you know, I'll just try to add it to my game. So I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly trying to perfect myself because the way I look at it, the goal is the gold, which is the belt. But personally, the better goal is to be a better fighter.
No, I hear you. And you have some good people. Before I hit you with a question that came in anonymously from a source, concerning a certain TO. Before I hit you with that question, I do want to ask about your training. You're in Portland, Oregon right now. You are training with one of the Team Sonnen coaches, specifically Clayton Hires, the boxing coach. He's basically one of Chael Sonnen's head coaches. Clayton, good man. Good. He doesn't get the credit he deserves or the recognition. He's in the shadows, but you have used him. I saw him in your corner for the Chris Lieben fight where you retired that man, and then I believe your apology wasn't because the fight wasn't exciting or anything, or it got stopped. I believe you were apologizing.
No, I wanted to keep going.
Exactly. I believe you're apologizing because you didn't get a chance to whoop that man's ass like fully and on display the way you were intending to.
Man, I had gas in my tank. I wanted to keep going.
Yep, and that's what I think you were apologizing for. No apology needed. Chris Lieben retired on the stool. You don't see that very often in a UFC fight. But you had Clayton in your corner. I believe he's training with you right now for this upcoming fight. Why have you kept in touch with a coach from the Ultimate Fighter Season 17? What is it about Clayton? But basically, he doesn't get enough recognition. I'm just wondering what you have to say about your training with him.
Well, definitely, Jamie and Clayton. I know Jamie is out here, and we haven't really got a chance to train, but we've just been hanging out, and, I've been calling him up. You know, I tell him, hey, man, I'm bored to death here because Portland, I think, and, you know, I hope no one takes it wrong, ain't shit to do out here. So I'm just here to just train and focus. So I call up like, hey, man, let's go see a movie or something because I'm bored to death. But, you know, with Jamie and with Clayton, the atmosphere that I love about these guys is on the show, I built that relationship with them where it was just that positive atmosphere constantly. Like, I didn't like being at the house because, you know, drama or whatever and some of the guys and whatnot, but every time I come to training I would be so excited. I'm like, oh my god, I get to learn from these guys, and you know, they're just so different, you know, to take each and every type of technique from. But I just love hanging around them because they're so positive, and you know, in life you have those people that are there for you and they're not there to kind of be on that bandwagon for what you do. And these people, you know, like Jamie and Clayton, they're there for me, I feel. And they're there to you know, uplift my game and for me, whether I'm down and out. And those are the people that were there when I was down. And those are the people that are there when I was up. So it's just that, you know, positive atmosphere. And I just love being around those guys because they're just so positive. And they're always trying to make me a better person. And you can just tell when someone's fake. And when someone's real, and you know, these guys are very real. But with Clayton too, I just love being out here because, you know, I have a lot of father figures in my life, and I could actually say that Clayton's at the top of the list. And the reason is he's just such a great guy where, you know, I could be having a bad day and he just knows how to talk to me. You know, training is one of the hardest things too for fighters, and a lot of people understand that. You have good days, you have bad days, you have days you think you're not that well, you didn't work so hard, or you shouldn't have got caught with certain things. And Clayton just knows how to push me in whatever mindset I'm in. You know, like we're on the hill constantly, and, you know, I'll be like dying, and he just knows exactly what to say. You know, I don't hear that, come on, man, you can do this. Like, I'm sick of that shit. Some guy was running with us one time, and he was saying, I'm like, dude, if you don't stop him, I'll knock you the fuck out. But, like, with Clayton, you know, again, it's just the approach, and I just love being around him. And, you know, he's good to be around to tell me to not do certain things that you see a lot of athletes do and down the road that just don't really, you know, get ahead in life. Like, he's always telling me, stay away from those girls, champ. Don't mess with those girls.
Yeah.
He's just always, he's always telling me.
That is the best advice anyone. Yeah.
It's the best. And he's always telling me, you know, to look ahead. You know, you can't do this forever, to plan ahead and stuff like that. So I need stuff like that. And that's one of the big reasons I came out here, because it's not just the physical aspect of training. It's the mental. And he's doing a fantastic job with both.
Yeah. That's all I ever hear about him, man. We definitely got to get him on the show sometime, Coach Huey. But yeah.
I asked him. Clayton's kind of a guy that I asked him to be on the show a couple of times, and he's kind of a guy that he didn't really, you know, he wasn't. I'm going to work on it again, man. I'm going to try to get him on. Because Clayton's a wealth of knowledge. He's a, just like what Uriah's saying. I mean, Clayton's really like a mentor to me. He's one of my closest friends, and the guy's a wealth of knowledge. And it would be outstanding to get him on here to share some of that. So
yeah, you just got to sell him.
We're going to work on him.
Yeah, just let him know that it would actually help inspire people.
I agree. You know what, too? Absolutely. Clint, you're right. He does not get enough of his respect and recognition as he should. You know another cat that does not get enough recognition, who I personally think is the pound-for-pound best fighter?
Let's hear it.
Demetrius Johnson. Little dude is a freaking amazing. I don't think people realize how good Demetrius Johnson is. And, you know, all the stuff that you see, like, who just won the title? TJ?
TJ Dillashaw, yes. Beating Henry.
Oh, my God. Freaking Demetrius been doing that shit since when? Yeah. And all of a sudden people recognize this from TJ? Not to take anything away from me. I mean, he destroyed, bro. Sorry. But, you know, Johnson's been doing that since the first time he got in there. And, you know, he doesn't just box, man. The dude's an amazing boxer. His jits is amazing. His wrestling is amazing. And the beauty about it, he puts it so well together. And I don't think people realize how freaking good this guy is. To me, I think he's not only a fantastic athlete, he's an amazing fighter, and I think he should be freaking top of town.
I struggle with that.
I couldn't agree anymore.
No, I agree.
I'm not taking anything from anybody, but he's freaking good. I mean, Anderson Silva will always be on top. I mean, personally, I'm inspired by that dude. Like, I'm sorry to say, even though he lost, to me, it didn't faze me. I'm like, yeah, no, he didn't. It's just in my head, you know? But Demetrius, he's current, he's doing it, and he's doing it so well. And for the recognition that he's getting, I'm like, what? How do you not realize this guy? This guy should be a freaking face, like, on top of USC. Like, don't get me started on that, man.
Yeah, it's just, honestly, the reason Demetrius Mighty Mouse isn't getting the recognition. Let's say, I'll be honest. I'll say it's because he's a little guy. He's a smaller fighter.
I think so too.
But I do think that's bullshit, because like I can't remember the last time I saw anybody hurt him like in a fight.
Exactly, and he'll make you feel so bad. You leave that cage saying, "Wow, I wasn't that good." Yeah. I mean, Jones will beat you up, but Demetrius would just make you leave and say, "I got to go back to training."
Yep. Yep, he was just
and I think full circle, I definitely agree with that, and I would say Clayton Hires is the Demetrius Johnson of coaching.
Well, he's definitely underrated. I'll give him that, man.
And Johnson finished his last two fights too, both of them, you know, a really slick fifth round sub and a a beautiful KO on Joseph Benavidez. That was beautiful.
And he's in fantastic shape, man. It was like round 5 and he was moving like he was round 1. I need to train with that dude.
Yeah. I just don't like that he's an Xbox guy. I'm a PlayStation bitch, man.
I think he's up in the Northwest, too, right? With Hume
and all
them? Yeah,
he's up in Seattle.
Yeah,
he's Matt Hume, yeah, he's up in Seattle.
Yeah, around
there. Oh, shit, I'm right.
Yeah, and he's one of these... Yeah, he's one of these guys that, you know, Matt Hume, I believe, started from scratch. I mean, that's pretty amazing to me.
Yeah, I don't know where did Mighty Mouse come from? Nobody knows.
Seattle, I believe. Oh, I think I that Matt Hume developed him from the beginning.
That's crazy that you're
good, man.
Yeah, you're right. You're calling him as one of the best. Like, that is pretty damn surprising, man.
He is, man. Like, I even hung out with him too, and such a great guy.
Oh yeah, you guys did that. You guys were on Opie and Anthony or something with Karen Bryant. I listened to.
Yeah, we did a little Black History Month tour, and someone was making fun of it, like we should make our own show because everyone kept calling him small, and I was big. I was like big and small. It was funny. Like, hey, we should do a little show, man. Welcome to the Big and Small Show.
I can't believe you did. Oh, yeah. I didn't know you guys were going to be on Opie and Anthony. That's actually my favorite radio show of all time. I got to ask you.
I didn't know until I got there.
Yeah, what was that like, if you even remember it, being in New York in the studio? They're pretty famous. They're one of the biggest radio shows out there. I'm obsessed with it, basically, as much as MMA. Twitter handle is
they're
the
cool,
AM Jimmy
Matt.
Show.
They're really cool.
They were cool. They weren't like Rich Dicks, like Howard Stern. Don't touch
the last time I met a Rich Dick was the finale. I forgot who it was. I wish I knew his name so I could call him out. It was some
I know. Yeah, I think his name is Shane Baldwin. I think his name is Shane Baldwin.
the crooked manager. Oh, we've heard all about that. Front row Brian blew the lid off of that guy.
I'm going to stay out of that one.
I won't. That guy is a crooked son of a bitch.
I met some guy on a show. I guess he was trying to get me and Kelvin all riled up. And at one point, I wanted to put the mic down and be like, dude, I'm going to slap you on this show. You keep asking me that question again. And at the end, he's like, I was just trying to get all riled up. I'm like, fuck you, man. Fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Douchebag.
That brings me around. That reminds me, man. I'm hearing that there might have been some words or some sort of exchange between you and
Tito.
Bellator's Tito Ortiz, man. What's the word on the street about that, man? What can you tell us? I mean,
well,
it's
a very interesting story. It's funny because I got into a confrontation with Tito Ortiz the week after the Mayhem Miller incident. You know, it was weird. It was like flashback, and I have to tell myself, not this shit again. But
the attack of the has-beens.
And, you know... You know, I spoke to Mayhem, you know, we smoothed it out. I was actually over it the next day when the Mayhem another incident happened. And I know he's going through some rough time, and I'm the first to kind of always look at or try to take something out of the bag. I didn't hate the guy. I mean, at the moment, you know, I was blind and I was a little rage. And, you know, it's just words, you know. Someone keep calling me the N-word. I'm not going to get all mad and get a gun and shoot.
No, that was serious. You should have said it all.
I was irritated. But you know what? It's words. It's not there to... you know, kill me or anything like that. And, you know, after the whole thing, I was over it and somehow got my number and apologized and he did it publicly. You know, I forgave him. I was like, cool, man, no worries. You know, just keep your head up and hope everything works out well. Yeah. So I was over that. And, you know, I don't want to talk anything bad about him. You know, I just think, I hope, you know, he gets his stuff together because
he's
one of those guys that inspired me, believe it or not, because I used to watch the Bully Beatdown show.
Yeah,
and I love that show because I was like, man, I love to be in that show because I can't stand bullies because I was bullied and that fits me perfect. If they ever do that show again, please,
you're
gonna
be
make
doing
me the host because I would personally fight every bully and beat the living crap out of them.
But come up
that show kind of inspired me, and you know, after seeing him, so you know, it was just weird how I was like, oh my god, it's Mayhem Miller. He's calling me the N word. I was kind of freaked out at the same time. But whatever, I'm over that. But going to the Tito incident, a week later, I think it was Halloween weekend, and I was in a club. What is it called? Is that like a Saddle Ranch? I forgot what it's called.
The one in Irvine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
Saddle Ranch. It's a really cool place. It was packed. Everyone was wearing costume. I was, what was I again? I was James Brown and Hugh Hefner. So I put my the names together, and I called myself Hefner Brown because I had the Hugh Hefner outfit and I had the James Brown wig. I really liked Hefner Brown. But anyways, I got in there, and, you know, it was packed or whatever. And one of my friends, my teammate, Rachel Cummings, she was in there, and she brought us all in. She was like, oh, yeah, we're going to go here, and got a table and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I was with my coach, Jason Manley. And what happened? We got in there, and it was all in the VIP section or whatever. And I got back there, and I remember inviting two more of the friends that I came in with. And I was like, oh, you get to come over here. And then some dude out of nowhere just kind of approached me. He's like, hey, you can't be here. I'm like, what? I'm like, who the fuck? What? Who are you? And then he's like, this is my table. So I was confused because I'm like, wait a minute. Rachel told me that we're having a table. Like, what's going on? So I'm trying to talk to Rachel. She's in La La Land. I'm trying to get Jason Manley attention. That dude was in La La Land too. But I was kind of pissed off. So as I'm leaving,
yeah,
I was saying something to this guy. And I was like, you know what? By the way, F you. And yeah, all of a sudden, freaking Tito, who was actually Jason from Friday the 13th, he was huge. And he had the outfit on, man. Because I saw the guy, you know, the whole time. Like, wow, that's a big dude. I had no idea it was him. So Tito pulled up his mask, and he was like, get the fuck out of here. You can't be here. And I was like, oh. I was shocked. I was like, oh, my God, it's Tito. He scared the crap out of me. It's bad enough it was Jason. Then he pulled his head up, and he was like, you can't fucking be here. And I was like, whoa, what the hell? So then it was like back and forth. I was like, F you, man. And I took my wig off. Just like a mad black lady, I pulled my wig off. I was like, you washed up, mother. And I started like rubbing the wig together. I was like, you washed up, sign, afraid of you. And that dude jumped on the table. He jumped on the table like, what? And then the security guards came and they pulled me back. God. And they pulled me to the side. They were talking to me. And then one of his friends, who's such a nice guy, I forgot his name, came over. He's like, oh, what's going on? I'm like, oh, man, that douchebag over there is saying crap. Oh, F him, blah, blah, blah. I was heated. And then he was just calming me down. And I'm looking. I'm like, how the hell you hang out with that dude? You're so calm and nice. So he was like, you know what, man? It's a great night. Let's all have a good time. And he was just very reasonable. I'm like, yeah, you're right. And he was pulling me over there. Just come on. Let's just go back over. Let's just talk, you know. Let's just, you know, end it all, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, ah, whatever. I went over there. And as I'm going over there, I see Tito looking in the corner of his eye while he was talking to someone, shaking his head like, no, I ain't talking to him. I'm like, I don't want to talk to your big-headed ass anyway. And then
big head.
Yeah. And then I was like, you know what? Let me just get out of here. And I just left. And I was waiting for my friends outside. And I just remember him passing, you know, like a freaking giant. And I was like, holy shit, that dude's huge. I'm not gonna lie, I was a little scared. I was like, that motherfucker would hit me. And
I would
scared.
Be terrified, man. I'm like picturing
but
this.
You know what? I'm not afraid, man. He's a man, and there's only one man I fear, and that's God. And every man, you can sit there and talk shit all you want. There's one thing that I am really good at. I am fast like a motherfucker. And I know I would, you know. But I'm not saying anything or calling anybody out, but I'm not afraid, man.
No, it's a true story. It sounds like it was just a misunderstanding and everybody was...
It was. I was just kind of frightened when he jumped up and pulled his mask off like, get the fuck out of here, motherfucker. I was like, holy shit, it's Tito.
I'm listening to this story of Tito Ortiz like revealing himself angry, unmasking, yeah, like it was the WWE. And then
and
you're
the funny
like,
thing is, just, you know, he's getting ready to fight me when I think he was supposed to fight Rampage or something. I'm like, oh, yep, all of a sudden you're healthy now?
Yeah, right.
You got
before,
a broken neck. Like, what are you doing
yeah, his
out
neck
partying?
Was broken.
You got like a broken neck or something?
He was partying with a broken neck, man. Supposedly dressed up like Jason.
But whatever, you know what? It's the past, and I'm over it already. So,
still, I would have been horrified, man. No, that's ridiculous, and it's weird how that doesn't like. How did that not make any news or headlines
well,
in the MMA
the
world?
DL. I didn't go around talking about it. I'm surprised Big Mouth Jamie brought it up. But I didn't want to say anything because I'm
he
like,
he burned my source.
I just got over.
It's such a good story.
Man. I don't want to do this shit.
It was Coach Jimmy blowing up your spot.
Can you imagine, man? Like, week after week, I'll be getting the fights with dudes.
I can't imagine.
But the funny, but there's a conspiracy thing here because I think Uriah's going down like Dana's blacklist or something. He's like, if Dana's got beef with somebody, Uriah's like his personal hitman. He's going to go.
Yeah, that was weird. If they got a problem with Dana, they got a problem with you now. Like, that's bullshit. But I'm listening to the story, like picturing myself in your position, Uriah. And I know I would be, you know, it's me. I would be smoking weed, high, and paranoid. And then all of a sudden, Jason's in front of me. And I'm like, all right, it's Jason. This is kind of a goof. I'll whoop Jason's ass. And then he unmasks, and it's Tito, man. I would have pissed my – I would have left – like,
I was scared, man. I was scared for a split second. I was like, holy, he's huge. Holy, I was like, holy crap. It would have been another Flamenco moment.
Did you see that fight? What did you think of Tito versus Flamenco, man?
Oh,
did you buy that?
God. What the hell is Flamenco thinking?
Yeah.
That's another dude, too. First of all, and I hope he hears this, I beat his ass in the Rain Training Center gym. Yes. I beat the shit out of him.
I was there.
And a week later... A week later, he was like, oh, yes, if Uriah and I fought, I would beat him in the first round. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, dude. I wiped the floor with you and your boy who fought for the title. I beat him both. I'm sick of that shit because, you know, it's one thing to talk shit, but I'm like, really? And Jamie destroyed the evidence because he recorded the whole thing. The whole thing. And then I'm like, did you have it on camera? Because when he's talking all that crap, I was like, Jamie, you have it? He's like, dude, I think I erased it.
Oh,
I'm like, no, there's no proof. But I told him, like, whenever you want to come back to the gym, bro.
Coach, you were there.
Well, so here's a story on Flamenco. So, you know, we have a friend in mutual, Marina Shafir, who's real close with Rhonda. Yeah. So she's from one of those countries over by Russia. So Flamenco bumped into her and called her, I don't know, called her fat pig or something, and Marina didn't say anything.
This is what I heard. I heard that Shemenko and the guy that he bought, some dude that fought Banaskin for the title and he lost, must have said something to call Marina a foul name, but they didn't know that
in
Marina
Russian.
Was
yeah.
Russian. So I heard, I think Marina told me, and I was like, oh, did he? And then I was like, I'm going to beat the shit out of both of them. And I did. I whooped both of their asses.
Yeah, dude.
And then
hell yeah.
I heard that he would have beat me in the first round. I'm like, get out of here, bro.
Right. The guy that got beaten by Tito.
With your arm spinning back fist. Mm. I saw that shit from a mile away. I actually did a Matrix block. I was like, really?
It was too easy. You could have...
That particular training session ended with Shemenko, his buddy, and his coach basically grabbing their gear. They left the gym, and to my knowledge, they never came back.
Oh,
I hope I spar him again.
They tried to storm your dojo, and you ran them out. Hell yeah, man. How can anybody talk shit about Marina, though? You're right, actually.
I know.
You are friends with Rhonda, Marina, the four horsewomen, as they're called, that crew.
Well, I don't know the other two horsewomen.
Oh, really?
I don't know Rhonda, Marina. I don't even know the other two.
Well, I want to ask, like, how close, I know you're up there in Cali from time to time. You know, I'm talking about that whole crew, the 209ers, Ronda Rousey, the Middle Easy guys. How close are you with them? Like, if you
we're
can
cool,
say.
We're cool, man. We're cool. I didn't. Like, I was supposed to hang out, you know, I texted Rhonda, I was like, hey, I'm in Cali. He said, oh, come down, we'll hang out. But our schedule didn't meet, so I couldn't really hang out with them, but we're cool. And every time we get together, it's a blast. You know, we always make jokes. Me and Marina have this love-hate funny moment, you know, we're always picking on each other. Miranda's cool. It's great, man. I like him. Lazy's a funny dude.
Yeah, man.
He's always high.
Yes,
he's funny.
I love
he's
me some Mike.
Funny.
Man. He tore me apart one time on the Twitter,
funny.
And it was well deserved. And I learned my lesson. I've been a friend of his ever since. Shout out to him.
Mike's a funny dude, man.
Yeah, man.
He is double-blooded around.
Yep. Okay.
And then Travis just kind of completes that circle.
Oh, man, I forgot about Travis. Travis is so funny. You know what? He is a very knowledgeable guy. He's really smart. Like, so blow you away. He's smart as hell. I was like, whoa. It's kind of like, what's that ring girl that everyone's giving me crap to not remember? Damn, I can't even think of her name.
Ring girls, Brittany, Ariani.
Oh, it's Brittany. Wow, Brittany. Damn, how did I forget her name?
Like, yeah, she's married, don't matter.
She's not my type. But we're all having dinner and stuff like that, and I was having a good discussion. Brittany is very smart. Like, really? I don't want to sound disrespectful, but in my head, I was like, oh, it's just a ring girl, and she walked down with a car. She's freaking smart as hell. Like, I was, like, blown away of the intelligent conversation I had with her. And, you know, she shared some personal stuff with, you know, her family and where she wants to be and how she's helping her brother and all that stuff. And she's an artist, too. I was blown away. I was like, wow, you got my respect. You're smart. You're very intelligent. And, you know,
that is the first thing I've ever heard about Brittany Palmer that did not concern her body. And it was positive. Wow.
Hey, man, you know what? I'm all about personality. I know a lot of these girls know they're fine. They know they're fine. And you know what? What do they call it? Groupies? Groupies?
Yep.
I remember my first encounter with groupies. I couldn't understand. I was like, oh, man, I must be cool. These girls like me. My buddy's like, yeah, it's called You're Famous, and they want to join the bandwagon.
Yeah, so, man, you were
I get
on
it,
TV.
You know, I get it, and, you know, I'm all about personality. I actually like it when a girl doesn't know I fight, you know, because, you know, they don't seem to be in it too much to understand it, to be that much of a groupie or whatever. I can have a better conversation.
How often does that happen now, though? Like, I mean, like, when was the last time you actually met somebody that had no idea who you were, and it was like a person you were actually interested in, you had a conversation with them, and then you had to explain what you...
It happens a lot, and this is what happens at the end of that conversation. Oh, my God, but you're so nice. How do you do that?
Yep.
And I'm like, well, there's this thing called turning off a switch. And you just got to go in there and perform for a little bit. But why would you do that? Why would you go in there and try to hurt someone? I tell them, you know what? Personally, I don't like to hurt people, but it's my profession. I enjoy the aspect of the sport of competing. I look at it in that regimen of the competitiveness of it. But to most people that are not educated on it, it looks like a brutal sport. It's bloody, and you think, oh, well, you're just going there and they're doing a cockfight. But you don't get it. And the same reason I would... You know, look at someone, and I gave this analogy before, that, you know, climb Mount Everest. I will say, what the hell are you thinking? It's freaking cold. You can't breathe. What the hell are you doing up there? But again, to that person, it's like, you know what? I'm coming outside my comfort zone, and I'm living, and I love the challenge. So it's the same aspect of me doing that. So it's just hard for a lot of people to understand it, but I educate them a little bit when they ask.
Yeah,
but that's their response. Like, oh my God, but your face, you speak so well.
Right, you're not just sitting there cutting promos about how you're gonna kick ass. Yeah, and right.
Like, I'm supposed to walk around with tattoos and like, oh man, so yeah, this is what I do. I'll be knocking cats out. You know, I'll be. Like, yep. Come on, man.
You're pulling off your Jason mask and yelling at people. Yeah, right.
You know what's One guy, though, this is funny. One guy called me, and I didn't know how to understand it. I'm still kind of puzzled by it. He called me the Brad Pitt of MMA. I didn't understand it.
Yes, I get it, man.
I don't get it. You got to explain it to me.
You're like the young. I'm certain he's referring to the old school Brad Pitt, like Legends of the Fall. Like, you're that guy, man. Like, you have not only the look, the attitude. You can back it up. You're whooping that ass. You're like the young. You're like the stereotype of the good fighter should be. That's you. You are the video game character, basically, is what they mean when they're calling you the Brad Pitt. They're saying you are the video game character, man. That's exactly what they mean. I've smoked enough to understand that, man. We do have a caller. with us right now from Queens, New York. Your stomping grounds. Hell yeah. Actually, you've talked to him before in a previous episode. He asked you for fighter advice, but now he's getting up on it. His name is Yao. Oh. He's an up-and-coming actually, since you talked to him, he did his first jiu-jitsu competitions. He's a champion now.
Nice.
He's about to take on his first MMA fight. He did his first Muay Thai fight. This is all in the past year since we talked to you, Uriah. He is Yao from Queens. He's joining us again. Hopefully he's there. He's going to fight another regular caller and co-host on this show, Officer Allen, who is a racist cop from Louisiana, is the storyline that we're
going with.
Well, he's not exactly racist, but we're trying to hype the fight between the two of these
guys. Oh, my God.
Right. So he's going to fight Officer Allen in Vegas on fight week. Hopefully Coach Huey will put it together at the Extreme Couture Gym.
Absolutely. Yeah. We got it going.
Yeah, so it's going to be Officer
Allen.
I've
got Eric Nick. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, guys.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just so excited about this. It's going to be my frequent callers and guests and, you know, they're hosts on the show. Officer Allen, the, quote, racist cop from Louisiana versus Yao from Queens. Coach Huey, man, honestly, we're all counting on you to put this together at Extreme Couture. Is that still the plan?
It's a wrap. It's done. Eric Nixick down there at Extreme Couture said we could do something. So we got it lined up for sure.
Hell yeah. And we're going to stream this live, Uriah. But yeah, it's going to be just two. They are kind of friends with each other to break the fourth wall down. But yeah, you're on with Uriah Hall from the UFC MMA fighter. I believe you wanted to speak with him. Yeah, hopefully you're there. Go ahead.
Uriah, hey, how are you?
What's going on, man?
Really, I just wanted to thank you because you are like a huge inspiration. Like Ramsey said, I am from Queens, New York, like you. I remember when you used to fight in Atlantic City and, you know, places like that. But really, I just wanted to thank you because, I mean, I've never seen a guy from my city, you know, Queens, go in and do what you did. So really, I just want to thank you, seriously.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Let's put Queens on the map. Apparently, people forgetting about us.
Yeah. I'm actually training at Henzo's in the city and Progressive Martial Arts in Queens, New York. I don't know.
Nice.
I think you actually came down once to my gym.
I visited a bunch of gyms. My buddy owns one, Striking 101, I believe.
Yeah.
Jonathan. Yeah. You been to that one?
Yep, I've been there.
Yeah, they got some good guys over there.
Uriah,
what's up, man? What's going on?
Yeah. Like, how many do you hear? Are there a lot of fighters from the Queens area now giving you props? Or, I mean, are they rare? I mean, Yao, it's honestly, Yao is a rare individual as far as I'm concerned.
He is, man. He is, because I haven't really heard any other fighter. I've gotten, like, you know, messages on like Twitter or Facebook say, hey, we hosting this event in Queens. I'm like, what? There's MMA in Queens? And I couldn't really go because I had to travel at a given time. But this is cool. You know, I don't know if it's me and Yao only, but for the rest of you guys that are out there, man, keep the grind, you know, keep pushing it, baby. Let's put it back on the map.
Hell yeah, man. And Yao, you gotta whoop Officer Allen's ass. I'm sorry, Allen. I know you're on the call right now as we speak. But Yao is my sponsored fighter. It is going to stream live. Yao, man, it's in about a month. Are you ready for this guy? And sorry, Ryan, I just want to hear this guy. Just
that's cool.
You know, with you on the call, Yao, man. Are you willing to make any guarantees? Are you going to stomp Officer Allen?
Absolutely. I mean, what else am I going to do?
Yeah. They did.
Why
have,
am I in the middle of this?
I know they did have a jiu-jitsu match a year ago, almost a year ago, and actually it's pretty good. I'll send you the link, Uriah. Allen briefly, we believe. Nobody's willing to admit it, but Allen actually briefly knocked out Yao during the jiu-jitsu match for a second.
During
Yao recovered. Yeah, recovered and then submitted him. It's actually a pretty damn good match. I'll send it to you. But the rematch is coming up, and it's going to be a full-on MMA fight at Extreme Couture. Coach Jamie Huey, hopefully you'll be there.
Absolutely. And you know, I think I've got my friend Swayze, who's a you guys have interviewed her, a cut woman.
UFC cut girl.
I believe she'll be down there. I talked to her the other day, so we're going to try to get her involved as well.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah, now you can't waste Swayze's time. You got to cut Alan now and make it worth like her being there.
Somebody's got to bleed. If I'm going to justify getting it down there, somebody's got to bleed.
But what I'm getting at is, Uriah, that's going to be the week that you're actually in Vegas to fight at UFC 175. Hopefully, in the midst of your horrible weight cut and press, you can make it out to the Yao versus Allen rematch at Extreme Couture just to see this ridiculousness. But I do want to talk to you about UFC 175, Uriah, before we let you go, man. Jake has got the relevant questions. He's more of a legitimate journalist than I will ever be. Jake from the MMA podcast, you're on with Uriah Hall.
Yeah. We figure you're fighting in a month, so it would be remiss if we didn't ask about UFC 175, July 5th in Las Vegas. You're scheduled to take on Thiago Santos. I think you found out you would be fighting him about 2 months ago. What were your first thoughts when you found out he was going to be your next opponent and you sort of started, you know, watching a little bit of tape on him?
I was excited to start training a little harder again. You know, for me, I just like to pick up the whole game, to get better personally, to get my weakness a little stronger and, you know, overall to just get back in better shape. But, I didn't really watch too many tapes, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I personally don't like to watch tapes. I know it sounds a little weird, but I love the idea of going out there and figuring it out on my own. I get yelled at by my coach, of course, to say, yeah, that's kind of dumb. You want to actually know what the guy's good at and what he's not good at. But me, I don't like to psych myself out, and I've done it numerous of times. I fought people, you know, were at a high caliber. I had no idea who they were, and I picked them apart so greatly, and afterwards they told me who they were, and I was like, what? That's who I fought? So for some reason, I perform a lot better when I'm in the zone. I'm in the moment of just trying to figure something out and, you know, picking the puzzle apart. So if anything, I'll just pick one thing, because I think what it's all about is I pick one thing, I just explode him on it.
All right. you're currently in Oregon getting ready for the fight. Do you have any more stops planned before UFC 175, or will you be up in Portland till you travel down to Vegas for the fights?
Well, it's right next to Vegas, so I'm not going anywhere. I just stay out here, finish up.
Hell yeah. Yeah, UFC 175, we're going to see Chael on the same card. What's it like fighting on the same card as a friend, and have you done it before?
I think I did do it before. I just don't remember what it was. Yeah, we were on the Boston card with when he fought John Jones.
Did he fight a friend? No, that was Shogun.
He had to fight Kelvin.
I'm sorry, Shogun. Yeah, when he fought Shogun, yeah. It feels great, man. You know, Chael is a great mentor. He's a great friend, and I'm excited to be around him because I he kicks my ass, and he's a great wrestler. And just rolling with him, I feel my game is getting a lot better. He takes me down, beats shit out of me, and stuff like that. But for that one or two good technique I get him with, I'm like, yes. So it's just a great positive atmosphere hanging out with him and Clayton, and just getting a lot of positive feedback. And I'm excited to be in the same car because it's like, you know, he's like our dad, you know, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, also, Bamba's on that card as well.
I was going to ask too, have you met any of the guys from Tough Brazil 3 yet?
They actually wanted me to come out to Brazil while they were filming. I couldn't really get a chance to go, but I met Bamba out here. And great guy. When I first met him, he said they call me the ambulance man in Brazil. I had no idea.
It's a good one.
So apparently I have a name in Brazil. big up to my Brazilian fans. But I've been rolling with him a lot, and fantastic grappler. Striking is really good, crisp. And, of course, you know, with Clayton getting him better, it's just all in all has been a really good trip. So I'm looking forward to it. We're learning from each other. We run that damn hill every Sunday together, and, you know, we're just feeding off each other. So it's good.
The Ambulance Man, that's a badass name. Talking about Chael, a lot of news recently about him having a new opponent. I got to ask, what do you make of all this craziness with Wanderlei Silva running out of a drug test, showing up at a bar during the tough Brazil 3 finale, I think in like Curitiba? What do you make of all this crazy stuff going on about Wanderlei Silva?
Honestly, I don't really pay attention to all that media stuff, man. Like, for me to actually pay a lot of attention to the media stuff is just wasting my time, man. You know, maybe in the beginning I wasn't educated on it well enough, because I would be like, oh, what's this, what's that? But media, excuse my language, lately has just been so fucked up.
I agree, man.
So much stuff where
they're against the sport.
Just all they think
ambush
about.
Ambush interviews,
Exactly. I say one thing, next thing you know, I read on other stuff that they say I say something else. And I've done a bunch of interviews, you know, it's just the way they word me. And I'm like, I didn't say that shit. And I hate it, man. Like, I get pissed off when, you know, people always calling me up for stuff. But, yeah, well, you guys are cool. Not that I say anything bad.
We won't put out some sort of
people. For all the people who just come out of the blue and just ask me stuff, and I'll sit there and I'll pour my heart out, and they'll just turn the shit around. Like, I just personally want to meet him and just slap the shit out of him.
Yep.
And just, you know, feel better. I just don't do any interviews. I really don't. If they call me up, you know, from UFC, I'm like, nah, I don't want to talk to anybody. Well, we need to. No, you don't. I'm just going to go out there and focus what I need to focus on. We need to fuck away.
Yeah. It's sort of like you're taking time out of your day, and you know, if me and Ramsey took this and twisted it and put it back out there, then we would be complete pieces of shit, because when it comes down to it, you're giving us your time. Yeah.
Right.
It's fucking it's crazy. I was looking at your Twitter feed, saw a couple interesting videos. You're pushing a dude down a track, you're sparring with pool noodles. Who is the crazy genius behind all this?
You know, I've been working with some great coaches out here. Alex Molden is the fitness coach I've been working with, and you know, well, part of that workout was I had to push him as far as I could down the track, and then I had to run right after that all the way around. I had to make it a certain time. So it was like cutting my speed in half. You know, it was like, okay, what can you do after you push so hard? And let's see how fast you can kind of come back. So it was interesting how we kind of meshed that together. And we just been doing a lot of smart training, you know, not just killing your body, but a lot of good reaction training of how to really take someone out of their game to be more poised in a fight. So I'm excited about it. It sucks most of the time, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, yeah, I did it, and I'm looking forward to kind of beat it.
Word. The last thing I want to ask before I pass it back to Ramses, I saw you retweeted something about Wayne Barrett, who I'm actually going to be having on the MMA podcast in the next week or two. He's going to be fighting June 21st at Glory 17, Last Man Standing on pay-per-view. You've got such a devastating stand-up game. Did you think about doing kickboxing at all before you ultimately chose to do mixed martial arts?
Yeah, you know, I thought about it. I was doing the whole World Combat League thing. Training with Wayne, man, it's literally like a video game moment. You know, he's so fast. Every round he will switch his game up. He will switch something up, and that's what I love about sparring with him, because it's hard for me to figure him out. And at the same time, I have speed, so we just counteract with each other, and we beat each other up. We'll be doing crazy stuff, and it's so exciting just to be in that moment with him and share that. And you know, with him coming up with for his fight, you know, I'm excited for him. He's been working his ass off, and I actually want to see that fight. But what was I going to say? Wow, I totally got a brain freeze. What was the second part of that question?
Even I got lost.
Jake. No. I was just asking. Did you think about doing kickboxing before?
Oh yeah. That's what I want to say. I did. I really did. Because I'm so comfortable there. But you know what? I thought to myself, well, I have to come outside my comfort zone, and it's a really great way to live. And I wouldn't just feel complete as a martial artist to just, you know, do something I'm only good at. You know, I know I'm not the best at the ground game. I'm not a elite wrestler. I know how to defend. I know how to take down. I know enough to survive, but I still want to just learn. So I didn't want to just do kickboxing only because, you know, I want to be a complete fighter.
Hell yeah.
Uriah, before we let you go, and thank you again for your time. Sorry for running so long, but
this is fun, man. Yeah, man. This is cool. I ain't got shit to do.
Yeah, we're just talking. This isn't you were bringing it up, and I did want to speak to that point. The MMA media, I am disgusted every day by what they're doing. It started off with them trying to be, you know, their job was to cover and promote the sport. But now they're trying to drag it down. They're trying to get gotcha points and articles. They're trying to just trap people for hits, for recognition, for their own personal website games.
I think at one point, I forgot who I told it something, but I'm sure there's a point where you actually liked your job, right? It's like, well, I do like my job. I'm like, no, you don't. You know what's the difference between you and a ticket officer?
Mm-hmm.
None. Because they enjoy giving me a ticket to fuck my day up. Mm-hmm. You're fucking my day. There's no difference at all. And who was that guy? What's his name? Irani or whatever the fuck?
Ariel Hawaii or whatever.
Right. He one time was asking me, like, I think at the end of my last fight, he was like, well, do you enjoy doing this? Do you like to do this? What kind of fucking question is that? I'm out there doing it. Of course I like to do it. And what I really wanted to say, I wanted to make a really good analogy and say, well, do you enjoy wearing that suit? Like, if I tell you it's ridiculous, would my opinion affect you? So someone's opinion of you doesn't really have to become your reality, you know? And it just sucks how, and I see it constantly, how people are always trying to get better in life. And then there's other people that are just designed to just bring you down. And I'm like, why do people actually do that? Why are you just there to fuck my shit up? Or to make me look bad, or to drag me down.
It's the crabs in the
bucket. And then you're
going
to look for inspiration to get good to in life. Like, and I think Bob Marley said it the best, you know, my life is really nothing to me if I can't really uplift or help someone. And that's exactly how I feel. I personally feel that if I'm not doing something to help or benefit someone else, it's not good. And that's why I pay more attention to the whole bullying campaign. I'm a big, you know, advocate of that. I'm following that. I'm trying to build a good brand to promote the whole, you know, anti-bullying. You know, I'm focused on that because I've been there before. I know what it could do to you. And I know that if you don't have that positive atmosphere, that positive surrounding, or even that positive role model, you will not get out of it. And even when you get older, it will come back to you. It will just come back and haunt you a little bit. But a lot of people don't understand that, especially if they've never been there before. Oh, you should grow out of it. You're an adult now. Shut the fuck up. You've never been there before, so you don't know shit. And for all those keyboard warriors out there who got really nothing to do, thanks. Thanks for showing your support by watching me, by focusing on me, by giving me your attributes to live my life. Thank you. But in the midst of all that, try to live your life, because then you're just pretty much existing. And I don't think that's enough.
You're damn right. Oh, man. I can't even, hell yeah, you just, yes.
Don't get me started, man. I should have been a preacher.
No, that was good. That's exactly what I was
saying. We've already got one of those on right now.
I say, don't let me start.
As God is my witness, though, Uriah Hall is speaking the truth, though.
This is legit probably the best interview we've ever done.
It's a shoot, man. It's what you would call a shoot interview. It's people being honest and talking like real people. I'm not trying to drag sound bites out of Uriah Hall here. I'm not trying to go for the gotcha quotes. I'm not trying to go for hits. That's the problem with the MMA media. It's disgusting. It went from them, their only job being to promote the sport. That's how they would get in good. That's how they would get, you know, their hits, their attention. Now that the sport is mainstream, now it's all about, oh, Jesus, I need that gossip article. I need that angle. I need someone's got to be
like a race.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it sounds like a race, man. It's like, who has the punchline story to make you read?
Yep.
It's not just with the MMA. It's with everything. Like, look at a guy like Kanye West. Like, I'm not mad at him anymore. Kanye, I got you, bro. I know why you mad.
Oh, yeah.
I get mad, too.
You can understand why he punches some people in the face.
I'll be right behind him like, Kanye, throw that left.
Yep.
Throw that left.
Yeah, man.
I get it. It just sucks. I think people are just forgetting. And the media is actually controlling the world so much because everything is just, we got to pay attention. And then we're so caught up in it that we'll believe anything. Take this for example.
Yep.
You look, especially like New York City, my home, everyone is walking on their phone. That's all we're doing. I do
zombies.
It, you do it too. We all do it. We're like zombies. And we forget to actually freaking interact.
Yep.
Oh, we interact, all right, but all over the internet. And it's almost like we're just becoming this new crazy race. And only
eye contact feels weird. Eye contact feels weird in public now.
It does. It's so weird. Yeah. I look at someone in the eyes, and I'm like, what the fuck? What do I do?
It's like you just did something wrong.
Like I'm in the Stone Age.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, Portland is doing a fantastic job. Because eye contact over here is
still
the
real
most
people.
Normal thing ever. I mean, I've never got so many highs before. And they don't know who I am, you know. It's weird. They're like, hey, man. I'm like, hey, what's up? I'm like, oh, my God. There's real people around here.
Portland, you still have people hanging out on the porch. Like, people still do that over there.
Yeah. I can only spread the word. That's it.
Yeah, I hear you, man. But I'm with you on the like the anti-bullying thing. I'm glad you're with that. You've been very vocal about that, and like that's the thing. It's like, does the MMA media know that they're the fucking bullies now? Like they just—that's all they do now, just bully people. Gotcha questions. I'm gonna ask. I'm no more softballs. Like they do it to their own detriment. It makes me sick and disgusted. I rail about it all the time. And
the base behind it all is it's pretty much promoting. I look at it. That's what I see and get what people are trying to do. They're trying to promote. And when they promote, it, you know, attract people. And when you attract people, you get fans, you get more fans, you get more likes, you get more likes, you get more money. So it's all about promoting to get to a better or higher standard. But there's a good and right way to do it. Like me personally, and even, you know, I had the honor of meeting Michael J. White, you know, and, you know, I felt so cool hanging out with that guy. He was throwing me spinning kicks. I'm like, holy cow. I thought my spinning kicks were cool. I almost bowed to the dude. I'm like, yo, you are the man. And, you know, there's one thing he kind of said to me, you know, he's like, man, I like your style. I like the way you fight. I like the way you carry yourself. And, you know, don't change, man. Just be you. And it's like so many people. And that's why it was so hard for a lot of people to understand why am I this different type of fighter. Like, oh, man, why are you so nice in the ring? I always get that. Why are you so nice? Well, there's a thing called my life, and there's a thing called your life. And God made me this way. I can't change for you. And I know it's because, you know, in that sport, the brutality of it is you go in there, beat the piss out of the person, and afterwards you'd be nice. Yeah. But it's who I am. I can't change it, you know. And I struggle with it for such a long time because I wasn't brought up that way. Yeah, I love to fight or compete, I should say, but I just don't know how to trash talk. I don't know how to say all this shit. I don't know how to be mean. I go in there and I enjoy more of just picking you apart. What's wrong with being a little different? Oh, it's what you want me to do? Last time I checked, I'm the one in there freaking fighting. You're the fucking one out there watching, so I got to please you? No, I'm doing this for me. So when someone says, oh, do it for your fans, I'm like, what fans? You know, the fans that are watching. I'm like, no. My fans are my friends, and my fans are my family.
Yeah,
because those
are
the people
what.
I do not have to explain myself to. Those are the people that when I'm not doing good, I don't have to say, hey, man, I'm sorry, man, because they're there for me. For the people who don't know who the hell I am, they only see certain things, and they're like, well, this guy is not as good as we thought. He was doing so well in the Tough Show, but now he's choking.
Yeah.
First of all, it is so hard to be in that world of fighting, and I'll admit it, I have a hard time. I have a mental problem going in there and try to take someone head off. But then you have someone who said, well, why do you do it? Because it's my fucking dream. I'm not going to run away from it because you said so. So I'm fighting myself to
unlock my true potential. That's what I'm doing. I'm still fighting. So even though I have the world saying, you're not that good, I'm saying, fuck you guys. I'm still going to do it anyways because it's my fucking dream.
Yep. You know what, man? The general consensus, and I'll tell you right now, I'll shoot on my own here. The general consensus on you is that we know how good you are. And it's like when we don't see you murder somebody in the octagon, like we're going to be disappointed. It's like that's how high the bar is. If somebody's not in a body bag at the end of your fight, like the crowd's going to be like, all right, all right.
All right. He's the ambulance man. He's not the
exactly. Brazil had it right. They knew it before we did. If your opponent doesn't leave an ambulance, it's gonna be like people are gonna be angry at Vince McMahon after a WWE Raw taping, is what I'm saying to you, man.
You know who I feel like personally though? I feel like Goku from Dragon Ball Z. I'm that guy that wouldn't hurt a fly unless I had to. But I love to compete. And if you look at Goku, for those of you who do not know what Dragon Ball is, it is the greatest anime ever created. And Goku is this guy, pretty much he sent the planet Earth to you know, he was a Saiyan, and as babies, they ship him off the planet, so they go up and you know, kill everybody, and you pretty much steal the planet.
He even died. Came
to Earth as a kid. He even died at the end, but he fell on his head as a kid, so he forgot about all of that. And he grew up to be this great kid who loved to fight because it's already in his genes. He just loves to test himself. He loves to go up against people that are way better than him to see how well he matches up. Because in his head, it's about him becoming better. It's about him testing his skill. That's exactly how I feel. But not everyone's going to get that because we're so prone to see someone just punch someone in the face only. And you know what? There's a new caliber fighters coming, man. You look at that dude, TJ. He displayed some shit where you're like, whoa. Fighters can do that. There's no more, I'm just going to punch you in the face and you're going to punch me back. There's some elite guys coming up, man, and that's the stuff fighting should be all about, you know, getting in there and just taking it to a higher level. So watch out.
That's weird because you are the elite guy coming up, but even you know it, though. You see it coming. And yeah, man, the Super Saiyan, he died and came back as a Super Saiyan. That was the craziest shit.
He died and came back, man. He's such a good dude. I personally feel like that. If there's anybody I can relate myself to, it's a freaking fictional character off a cartoon.
Well, Uriah, get
it's
ready.
It's funny because me and Rhonda was having a debate over this, man. We were arguing who's better. It was Goku and Vegeta. You should have been there, man. We're in this hotel. We're arguing. I'm like, yeah, but Goku does this. And she's like, yeah, but Vegeta's blah, blah, blah. And the whole room stand there looking at us like, what the fuck are you two talking about? And we were just arguing about it. It was so funny.
At the peak of your, I got to ask, I know you probably never actually realistically thought about this, but if you had to give yourself a realistic power level, if you had to guess what your power level is when you're at your peak in any fight that you've ever had or like training or sparring session, what do you think, honestly, man, what do you think your power level would be at right now, Uriah Hall?
Now, when you say power level, you mean like I gotta charge up?
I'm referring to like, okay, we all know the famous one where Vegeta is like, my power level is over 9,000.
It's over 9,000?
Do you think you are anywhere near to the 9,000 mark at your peak?
You know what? I think I'm probably like a little bit of that Gohan where I have this hidden power and I just need to be pushed the right way and it will come out. I think I'm right there. Because if you watch Gohan, he'll have some moments where some shit will happen. He'll just snap and he'll go back. And I've had those episodes. I've sparred or compete with dudes where I saw red and I did some shit that I didn't even know I could do and then I would just snap out of it. It's weird. So all I'm doing is just trying to control it.
No, I understand that. And it's
I'm probably right at level two, like right there.
I hear you, man. Well, damn. Hopefully, I do have two quick questions from my co-host on the call with us. But yeah, before I let you go, but holy shit, I hope you hit over 9,000. I hope you burst into flames against Thiago Santos and destroy this man. Yeah, give the fans what they expect. The Brazilians, man, they want to see that ambulance pull up to the octagon. All right.
You know what? I'm just gonna have fun and be me. At the end of the day, man, as long as I don't look at this as a job, then I'm good. Because then once I look at the job, I forget to have the fun. I forget to be there, and then I'm just doing for others instead of myself, and that's what's important.
You know what? I do have to. I know I keep saying I'll toss it, and this is the last question, but wait, one more that I just have personally, because I don't get to talk to you too often. You're right, man. This is a privilege.
That's cool.
Do you feel in any way bad about being the man that retired Chris Leben, or do you think it was going to happen no matter what? I mean, you retired him on the stool, literally. Mid-fight, he said he gave up. It was done. It was all over. Are you like, do you consider that a privilege that you literally put away an MMA, you know, maybe legend, but definitely like, he was a top tier guy. He was an icon of the sport. How does that make you feel knowing that you retired him on the stool mid fight?
Well, first of all, I just want to say I have the utmost respect for that guy. And season one was the first Ultimate Fighter I've ever watched, ever, from start to finish. And I fell in love with his character because I related to him where, you know, some of the guys on the show were picking on him. And, you know, you're in that uncomfortable environment where it was hard to handle it. So I respected him for that. And, you know, I followed him. I had nothing against him. When I got the word I had to fight him, I was like, ah, shit. But you know what? I had to separate those emotions, and I went out there and I did what I did. I don't really feel that sense of, oh my God, I don't feel that. You know, I look at every fight as very important. Again, there's an ultimate goal to go up against the best guys, but fighting Chris Leben, you know, it was a fear of certain things that I had to overcome, you know, and I went in there and I unleashed it. And I was very technical. The game plan was to move and hit. You know, I knew he was winding up, so I was just looking for shots, and I was just trying to pick him apart because I'm good like that. And I was just trying to be very, very articulate, and it ended up working. And, you know, when he didn't come back out, I was more, you know, upset that I wanted to go a little more because there was more stuff I wanted to do. But, you know, I don't really feel like, oh, my God, yeah, I retired. Like, when people say, I don't really get excited about it because, you know, I respect the guy. But at the same time, you know, I just look at it as a fight as a fight, you know. It's not a big deal to say, yeah, you retired a guy. I don't really get too excited about it. I would love to train with him because that brute force strength where he just comes forward, that's something good to go up against to kind of know what to do. And if I ever get the chance, man, that would be cool too.
Yeah, man. It was just holy shit watching that fight, man. That was a holy shit moment. Just seeing that guy. Chris Leben, just, I'm done, man. Just like he wanted no
he's
part
strong,
of it.
Strong, man.
Holy shit. And
he's strong.
Yeah, the fact that it was, I mean, pretty much for the most part, it was a do or die fight for you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Do you think you were going to get cut if you had lost that fight?
I probably would have gotten, maybe, yeah. But you know what? I wasn't thinking about it. I just, sometimes you got to just have what's called the fuck it system. Yep. You just say fuck it. And I didn't make that fight where I was thinking of the outcome. I focused more on the process of what's going on. So when I went out there, I was like, well, I'm just going to be here, and whatever happens, happens. So I didn't worry about the outcome. And that's something Chael taught me, too. And, you know, while I was doing it, I hear crowds are booing and stuff because, again, I wasn't fighting to their standards. Like,
because you know, you weren't spamming like video game moves.
Yeah, I wasn't standing there. And I wasn't brawling, you know, like right. They expect to brawl. I'm like, fuck that. I'm not going to stand there and brawl with a brawler. That dude hits hard. Like, I remember him throwing a punch and I blocked it and it still hurt. Yeah. So I was like, nope, not staying here.
So they just think you're going to be all that. They think you're going to be the video game and the movie guy the whole
exactly.
time. Man. That's the problem.
You don't realize that it's a good smart. It's a head case, man. You got to be smart, you know. Fighters aren't just going out there to punch each other in the face anymore. They're very articulate, man. I enjoy that. That's what I love about it, you know. I go out there and I like to up my game by seeing what I can do. Win or lose, but unfortunately the world doesn't see it like that. The world sees it, oh, you win, you're the greatest. You lose, oh, you suck. It sucks that the world sees it like that.
And
they don't realize the hardship that both fighters have to go through, yeah. You know. You don't. It sucks, but hey.
Yeah, that That's the MMA media for you, too. It's always fight the fight.
Yep.
What have you done for me lately? That's their entire attitude.
You know what I love? Whenever there's a news about me, and this is so funny, and every person that wrote an article about me says the same exact thing. It starts out like this. Ultimate Fighter contestant Uriah Hall was a runner-up of season 17 where he actually lost by Kelvin Gastelum after blah, 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 blah. So they always talk about how I fucked up, and then they go right back, well, now he's doing this. It's every time. It's so funny. It's so funny. We expected it. This from him, and then he lost, blah, blah, blah. And then they go right into it. Everybody does it. It's so funny.
They're
man.
Hung up on the upset, man. It was just an upset, and they can't get past it, man.
It is. You know it's upsetting, too, because it's disrespectful to Kelvin, too, you know? I mean, that's what's so frustrating about it is they want the guy's times, but then they go out there and they say stuff like that, and they disrespect both fighters.
You know what? Honestly, Uriah, I'll say it right now. The fight between you and Kelvin, I believe in my mind, honestly, 100% shoot, no bullshit, whatever. This is the word in the street. I believe that it was a draw. I think that it probably should have gone an extra round, dude. Do you have anything to say about
that? Extra.
I mean,
you know what?
That was an option.
I wish. What was that? Three rounds? It was three, right?
Yeah.
I wish that finale fight should be five rounds. First of all, it should be five. I had more gas in my tank, but you know, Kelvin.
I had it a draw, dude. I had it a draw.
I looked on paper and I was like, maybe that takedown at the end probably gave him a little more points. Maybe for being at the judging system, which is half dumb, but I think that he had more points by that last takedown at the end. If that last takedown wasn't there, then it probably would have been a draw. But I'm not going to take anything away from the kid. I've trained with him, and let me tell you, man, this kid is freaking phenomenal, and I really can't wait to see what he can do. You know, he's like Chael said the best. He's not great at anything, but he's so effective. But I think he's just so good at wherever you put him. Like, you put him here, he'll do it better. You put him here, he'll do it good. You put him here, he'll do it really good. And I have so much respect for him. And we're the best of friends, man. And we hang out so much. It's so awkward when people always see us together. Like, how the hell are you guys friends? You know, I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? But it was really weird, you know. And, you know, like I said, I think Kelvin handled it better because I was that phenom that everyone was looking at, like, oh my God, he's done so much on the show. Let's see what else he can do. And I had all that hype, you know, and everyone was on the bandwagon and everyone was behind me. Meanwhile, Kelvin was like, fuck everything. I'm going to beat this guy and show the world that you're not watching me. Watch the upset. But the weirdest thing was, it was so hard for me to separate those emotions. For one, I've got to know Kelvin and he was my friend. And maybe other fighters can do it. I couldn't do it. You know, I felt so weird going in there, and I'm like, yeah, I can do this. We can just fight it out to hug it out. It was the weirdest thing ever, where it was like, fuck, we both made it here, and it was weird, and I think he did a better job to handle it, because he had nothing to lose. He had nothing to lose, so he was like, I'm going to come at you, and, you know,
hype train wasn't riding him.
It was, right.
Yeah, no, definitely, you know, and it's got to be weird punching somebody in the face that you were living with.
It was so weird.
And you were laughing at his Scarface impression like a week
ago. I might have got a little distracted. Yeah, man. I might have got a little distracted because I know when I got back, you know, the whole team that I grew up with, training with, was just doing some shady shit, you know, like wanting to sign contract at the end.
Yep. Now it's time.
Taking more percentage. And it was like, oh, you know, I left my job. And when I came back, everyone was just kissing my ass. So I was around so many fake friends, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that. Like, after that show, like, everyone that was so fake were coming up to me, and I didn't know how to handle that. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Last month, you said I was a piece of shit. How are you hugging me right now? Like, who are you? It was so weird. You know, I had that messing with me, and the fact that I had that, too, you know, I was just like, man, fuck it. I'm just going to go out there and have fun.
Yep, Dana White talks about that. He talks about it happening to Mike Tyson, but, I mean, it's real then. Like, all of a sudden, your friends, all of a sudden, they're looking at you like you're a paycheck.
Exactly. It's a hard game. That's why it's hard for me to trust people. Like, right now, you know, I'm meeting so many people. You know, I've had so many interviews with agencies, and come on, we'll sign you. I treat it like a relationship, man. I got to date you for a while, see if I like you, and then we can call official. And that's how I have to make it. And then people are like, oh, you're a jerk. I'm like, no, I'm not a jerk. I've just been around a bunch of assholes, and it's fucking with me.
Yeah,
so it's hard.
What do you do, leave the gate open for everybody? No.
I can't. And especially where I am now, it's easy for so many people to, you know, just try to manipulate or do some shady shit. But I'm just so more alert now. You know, I'm on alert. I'll be a dick if I have to because I have to protect myself. It's hard, and it sucks.
Yep. No, man. I don't envy that part of your life at all, man. That's got to be the hardest part.
You know what? I don't really pay too much attention to it. My coach always said, you know what? It's not going to last forever. Enjoy it. Personally, it doesn't really do it for me. I enjoy more of inspire people. I meet the trolls and I meet the people who, you know, are there because I've done something to help uplift them. I meet people who are like, hey, man, you're so good, da-da-da. Meanwhile, I'm like, man, if I lose tomorrow, you ain't be saying that shit. But at the same time, I meet people. Like, I met this kid the other day in California, Chipotle. He was shaking. I'm like, you're right? He's like, I can't believe I'm meeting you. I'm like, all right, cool. Don't worry about it, man. He's like, you don't understand. You saved my life. And I'm like, how did I do that? And he was like, you know, I watched the show and I saw you were bullied. And, you know, at the time I was bullied so bad, I wanted to commit suicide too. And the fact that you made it out of there and, you know, you had this positive reinforcement on yourself to be better and you took on your challenges. I decided to do it too, and I took up jujitsu, and it gave me so much confidence and all that. That's the stuff I love, because those are the real people that I'm really helping. Not the ones that go out there, sign this. The fuck is my signature going to do? They ain't going to do nothing. The fucking signature.
It's like yow.
I did want to hit on that, Uriah. Yeah, definitely. He is another example from Queens,
exactly.
New York.
Like that, you know, that's what I enjoy more. I wouldn't care if people don't recognize me. I used to get mad. Clayton used to yell at me like, nah, you know, son, you got to be nice. So I'm like, I'm going to fucking talk to you because I know you're fake. It doesn't bother me if they don't recognize me or anything.
Yeah.
I like to inspire. I like to help other people because that's more important than a fucking signature.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you're probably going to sell to make more money off of me. And they're so good at it, man. I've met so many people.
Slicksters.
Man, and you know what they do too? I met a couple of people. They send the kid.
Mm.
They look at me and they send the kid right over.
Oh no!
Where I can't say no, and I call them out, and I'm like, "Why'd you send the kid?
The kid has.
I'm not gonna say no.
The kid has memorabilia, ten pieces.
Right? You put the puppy dog eye kid to make me have to say yes. You think I'm stupid?
Man.
You know what, man? I don't care, man. You know what? Yep. People are gonna hate you, and people are gonna love you, but you know what? I'm there for the real folks. And for the people that hate me, hey, sorry.
You're damn right. Let's talk to some of the real folks. Last two questions before we let you go, Uriah. I'm sorry, man.
No,
but it's just so fascinating. And I like talking to you, man. I mean, like,
this is fun, bro.
If they told me the show had not been live. Yeah, if they told me
the
show
had not been live. Oh, of
course, bro. Oh, yeah.
You got another month before your fight, man. Maybe let's get you back on here again. This is a good one.
This is therapy. We'll go to the racist Officer Allen question in a second. But again, it's just fake racism. It's just an angle to promote the fight. All right, people, between Yao and Allen. But we'll go to Allen has a question. But first, the ninja himself. He is my original co-host on the show. The ninja. You are on with Uriah Hall and Coach Jamie Huey on the Win Street Podcast, man. What do you got, man?
What's up, Uriah? I just got to say,
what
man,
up, ninja?
As somebody that's been bullied, as somebody that was really close to suicide from being bullied, fuck, man, you're an inspiration. And I mean that from
Thank
the
you,
bottom
brother.
Of my
he
heart.
He does mean that, actually, yeah.
Thank you, man. I do.
I really
appreciate
that. I got to admit, I got to shoot with you straight. There's one fighter in the UFC that I look at that every time, you know, I hear you have a fight coming up, I don't worry about it because I have confidence in what you do and your philosophy and how you handle yourself. And I have the utmost confidence and respect for you, and I have faith. So every time I hear you have a fight, I don't even worry about it if you're going to win or lose, because I have that faith in you. And I just had to tell you that. There was only one other fighter that I've ever felt that way about, and that was Anderson Silva. But obviously, you know, he's lost. So, I mean, you're it. You're the guy that I don't worry about. When I know you have a fight, when I know you're walking to that ring, I have so much confidence that you're going to show your skills and do what you do, and you're going to win or lose. It doesn't matter, but I know you'll be there, you know, standing tall at
the
end.
I just wanted to tell you. That made me feel good. Thank you.
Win or lose, yeah.
You know, and I just wanted to tell you that, you know, you talked a lot about helping people. I share that same view. That's what I try to do. You know, so I just wanted to tell you that. So you know, maybe that gives you a little bit more confidence, you know, that you'll have fans like us, you know, the real fans that know you personally, that win or lose, rise and fall, we'll always be there for you, brother. Thank you so much for all your hard work and inspiration, man. I love you to death, and it's been an honor to talk to you.
Oh, my God. Man, if you were... If I was a girl, boy, I would have been so much punch right there.
just some real thank praise you. From the ninja thank coming through.
That would have been so much points, man. Thank you so much, bro. That made my night, man. I'm glad to know that, you know what, there's others out there too. I'm not alone in that. If I can inspire, you know, and attest to that, then that makes me feel really good. So thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Not a problem, man. It's 100% truth.
Oh yeah, and, yeah.
Well, that gave me some boost. Where's the train?
We'll definitely. wait, Officer Allen also wanted to weigh in, and yes, I did. Trust me, the racist angle is totally made up on my part. It's just to sell this fight.
I think you're gonna arrest me, man.
Because I'm definitely the racist cop who went and bought Uriah a shirt, and then gave him my only Team Dark Side bracelet in Dallas.
Oh, so you met Uriah. Officer Allen, come on. He meets at least 100 people every week. You're on with him right now, though. What do you have for him? What's going on? Officer Allen from Louisiana.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Uriah, like, I do two-a-days or whatever now, like training, and I just wanted to figure out, like, what's the main thing that the one exercise or one like thing that you do that you hate going to the gym that day that you know that you have to do, and then what's your favorite aspect, like as far as sparring, strength training, mitts, like just best and worst things.
Wait, I'm so sorry. Could you repeat that again?
Yeah, what's your favorite thing to do at the gym in a training camp, as far as like, you know, sparring, mitts, wrestling, you know, whatever, and then
and what do you dread?
Like, what do you like not look forward to going to the gym that day and doing?
I think Ollie was one of those guys that said it the best too, that he hates to train, but he'd know that at the end, you know, he's going to be a legend. I mean, there are days that I hate training. There are days that I love it. I love to outdo myself. So today I did something. Tomorrow I got to do 100 times better. So I'm kind of looking forward to the next day, say, all right, where am I recovery at and how well I can do it and how far I can push myself mentally because of how I feel already. So I look at that, you know, I said, all right, let me outdo myself, because if I outdo myself, I'm getting better. Mentally it's good for me, and it keeps me at the edge a little bit to say maybe I'm training harder than my opponent. I love that. I mean, there's so many tools in the training game that you can learn. Like recently I've been working a lot of reaction with my coach, where he throws something at me and I'll just defend at it. I just look at that as just learning and getting better and improving overall. But psychologically, I look at it more of a mental thing to say, okay, I did this today. I push hard, or maybe I didn't push hard enough. Tomorrow, I got to do better. If I look forward to it that way, then it cancels everything out. The least thing I like to do is probably this hill. That I thought you were going to say that.
The hill. The famous hill. Holy shit.
This hill sucks. And we have to beat it in 20 minutes. You know, it's a long hill, and you're going up the whole time, man. It sucks. But you know what? Since the beginning of the week, I'm already thinking about that hill. So it adds the counteract to it. If I'm training hard, and I'm pushing myself, and I'm outdoing that I did yesterday, then I should be ready for that hill. So as much as I hate the hill, if I do it, I say, you know what? I'm getting closer. I'm getting better. I'm getting stronger. So it's weird to explain, but the bad days or the things that I don't really look forward to, I kind of counter it with positive things that I know I should do to get to it, if that makes sense. No, man. You know what I mean?
The hill, yeah. Dude. It's infamous. Definitely. Holy shit. Yeah. I've heard several mentions of it, but like, it's one of those things where like, I bet in 30 years, you're going to be looking back and you're going to be like, I wish I could fuck that hill up one more time. Like, I wish I had that much left in me.
Hell no. I'm going to be like, thank God I don't have to do that shit anymore.
Thank God I'm eating lobster and caviar and getting massaged. And I don't have to. Yeah. Hell, that is the future, man. I'm predicting that.
Well, you know what, man? It's good. When I finish it, and you know, it's not just doing it. We do the hill and we come down. We jog back down, which is another freaking 40 minutes. And then close to the end, we do stairs. And then when we get all the way to the end, at the bottom there's a track, we'll do like a good 4 100. And I'll try to beat, right now my record is 10 seconds. I hit 9.4 or 9.5. I'm trying to get 9 seconds in that 100.
Going to flash mode.
Yeah.
Man, the flash, dude. The
it's
flash
all about improving, man. You just got to do better each time.
Nice,
if
man.
You start looking at life that way, then you know there's only one way. Up, and it's just that way, which is up. So you just got to keep pushing and just keep better, no matter what.
You're gonna whoop ass, man. Last question before we let you go. Swear to God, last question. You saw?
Nah,
you
man. Like I said, I ain't got nothing to do.
Cool. Yeah,
it's my rest.
The time flies, it does. But when you're real talking, you know, it's, I'm not like hitting you up like, what do you think about this person, that person? I'm sitting there with my fingers pressed on the keyboard, ready to tweet some MMA article out. Fuck that. No, I gotta ask. sorry.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. No. Still keeping it light. It is the last question. Besides, where can people find you and look you up and talk to you and whatnot? But this fight coming up, UFC 175, you're going to be there in Vegas, man. It's going to be real. Do you know anything? How much do you actually watch fight tape on your opponent coming up? Are you doing research on this guy, or are you just like keeping to a steady training pattern, like? What is your prediction for this fight? And this is the only hat question I will ask.
What's the famous thing that Jamie Huey always says in training? What's the famous thing you always say, Jimmy? Don't get ready, stay ready. Exactly. I stay ready.
Awesome.
I'm constantly training. I'm constantly bettering myself, and I'm ready. I don't like to take away from myself. It's a personal thing that I rather do, and I perform well at it. If I think of this in a real fight, you don't really know anything about the other person. And that's probably why I did so well on the show. I didn't know anything about those guys. I would watch them a little bit to say, okay, he did this. But I'll pick one thing. I wouldn't say, all right, well, look out for this, and this. I'll pick one thing. That way I don't have to cloud my mind, and then I'll just take away everything else from them. And I'm that type of fighter, and Jones is doing it. He'll go out there and he'll beat you what you're good at. If you take that away from someone, then what else do they have? Nothing. His last fight, the dude's a boxer. Clinch him up, came on the wall, dirty boxed him. What else can he do? Shit, that's not working. It's not working. What can you do? Nothing. I'm that type of person. If you're a great wrestler, in my mind, even though it's like, red flag, don't do it, I'm like, I'm taking you down. Fuck it.
Yep.
That's how I work. Because I'm not just looking at for the win. The win is great. Yeah. But I'm way ahead of that, man. And again, it's hard to explain because, you know, it's how society looks at it. You got to win. Fuck it. I'm trying to get better. But don't just get ready. Stay ready.
Uriah Hall, people. I can't even believe it, man. Fourth appearance on the Word in the Street podcast.
I got to beat Kelvin.
you do have to beat his streak, man. He is a champion. He's pretty proud of it, too. Last time he came on, man, he was loose. Like, he was used to it. He was ready to talk to us. It was like old times. But, yeah, man, your cat, one more appearance, you're going to tie him. So we'll have you on after you whoop this dude's ass at UFC 175. That's for damn sure. I have no doubt in my mind. But ending question. This is seriously the last one, I swear. As God is my witness. As God is my witness. Uriah Hall.
I was like five.
I know, man.
Ending questions ago.
I know, man. It's the only media trick I know and do and pull. But trust me, you won't see any flash. Like, you won't see a headline about Uriah Hall using the word, like, Negro and talking about video games. I promise. You won't see that, man. All right. What I do have to ask you, you saw with in Portland in your boredom off training, you saw the movies Godzilla and Captain America. Can you break both of those movies down real quickly? Were they worth watching? Were they pieces of utter crap? Movie review to end the interview.
Jamie, I'm guessing you were the one that told him this.
Yes.
Yeah, I have no clue how they...
He didn't tell me about the Tito thing, but he told me about the movies.
All right, so Godzilla, I thought was going to be, wow, Godzilla. And someone made a great comment before I said, they're like, you know what, you promised me a lizard, you didn't give me a lizard. And he made some kind of analogy with that in porn. I couldn't figure out or tell you, but it made sense at the given time. But... you know, they promised a lizard and it was like, well, we'll show the lizard more, you know? And the story was cool, you know, Godzilla was there and he fought the guy and, I mean, fought the other beast or whatever and Godzilla was kicking ass. At one point, I was like, yeah, Godzilla, go! And everybody's looking at me like, who's this Negro in the back yelling? It was one of those funny moments. Of course, it was Portland. But, you know, I just wanted to see more of Godzilla, and I thought it was okay. I think if I can change anything from it, don't make it so dramatic. You know,
the one-liners.
It was just too dramatic. Like, it's a fucking lizard. Why are we crying over it? And the other thing I would change is more action. You know, the action was at the end, and it was cool. Captain America, was a badass movie, man. That movie was cool. What I didn't like about it is how fucking GSP got his ass whooped.
He did,
I'm like,
man.
You got to be shitting me.
He got canceled.
But you know what? It's good for Kev. I'm sure everybody was like, I'm sure GSP would whop the floor with this dude. But you know what? It was good for TV. He did some crazy stuff. The moves that GSP did, I don't think he would ever do that shit in real life. It was some choreograph I've never even seen.
He was on strings or wires.
No, he had a stunt double. For some of the moves, there was stunt doubles for like that backflip, that giant.
Oh, okay. Well, some of those punches and kicks, I'm like, he would never do that shit.
Yep.
But, again, it was good for TV. You know, so, yeah, I like, what is it called? Captain America. Spider-Man I actually saw, too. That shit was just too much drama. I'm not going to lie. I got teared up at the end. You know, when something happened. I don't want to give it away if you didn't see it yet, but I'm sure everyone saw it because it's a big movie.
I got too emo.
When she passed, I was sad. I was so mad. I was like, damn, she's so fine. Damn. You know, I was teared up. But Spider-Man was just, it's like The Matrix. You know, the first one was always that good one. Like,
it's my favorite Matrix, movie of all time.
I couldn't watch the other. I watched it just to kind of get it, but it was just too much. They overdid it. You know, keep it simple, man. My instructor used to tell me, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. Keep it simple.
Yeah, they really fucked. I've only seen the third Matrix movie one time. They fucked that up to hell.
Yeah, they fucked it up so bad. I just keep going back to the first one, man.
I hear you, man. But
I'm still a Keanu Reeves fan. Go Keanu.
Yeah, no kidding. I have to watch that new Samurai movie or whatever the hell he was doing.
Yeah, watch that. And he's also got the movie Man of Tai Chi, where Keanu plays the bad guy. It's a Hong Kong movie.
I saw that movie. I saw that. That was crazy.
Hey, Uriah, I got some good news for you. Pretty soon, the recent Dragon Ball movie that was released in Japan in the theaters is going to come out at the theaters here in the United States. They did a new movie recently.
I'm going to be on the line with all those Asians watching that shit.
This is too deep. I don't even know what you guys are talking about. All I know is over 9,000
on that line. I'm gonna be... It's over 9,000. That's good.
Yeah, man, you gotta beat this guy's power levels on Fight Expo weekend. And you're right. If you're not dying from the weight cut or training or media obligations, you should go to the Extreme Couture gym and check out this rematch between Officer Allen and Yao. Yao, who is fighting from Queens, he could use your support, man. This rematch is going to be streamed online.
You have to watch it from his hotel room.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just make sure I'll let you. I'll make sure you know when it's coming on. But oh my god! But yeah, we're looking forward to all these fights coming up here in a month, man. And just
let's get it, man. It's our year, baby.
Hell
our
yeah! Year. Uriah, where can people contact you and find you and harass you and stalk you with hack questions?
Well, I hope they don't. But. my Twitter handle is Uriah Hall MMA. Facebook is, you know, I literally have over 3,000 friend requests that I can't even.
These people aren't your friends.
I was having a conversation with, she's fine. What's her name? Candice Swanpool.
Yeah. That sounds hot.
But. Yeah, we were talking about it, how, you know, how people just, you got to make your page private and stuff like that. So I have my fan page, but it's hard. You know, and I try to get back to so many people, but it's hard. Like,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
I have like over 100 messages I haven't even finished yet. And then I'm like, damn, how do I do this?
Yeah. Where's all this time? You got to start hiring PR, and then you're like, who is this PR person? Yeah. Like, she's just drinking coffee.
I'd rather do it myself, you know, because, you know, PR, they just write stuff. Yeah. No, I'd rather interact with the fans. You know, I'm real, man. I'll talk to you. I don't mind.
And you were totally real tonight, man. Thank you, Uriah Hall, for coming on. Hopefully we'll have you on again soon. We will let you go. Get back
Thank
to that
Resident me,
Evil 6. Get on the PlayStation Network. Well, download the EA UFC demo.
Actually, my coach just came down because I got to get up there in, 5 hours? He's like, we got to wake up early, right? I was like, all right.
Okay. Yeah, sorry to keep you on, but again, I can't thank you enough for giving us your time, man. I really was trying to keep it short, but it was a good time, man. It's good hanging, dude.
What? 2 hours later?
Yeah, I'm really – I'll make it up to you somehow. Trust me, I will. But yeah,
it's
man.
Cool, brother.
Do what you got to do.
I had a blast, man. I had a blast. And just want to say, you know, thanks to those two gentlemen that called in, and I wish them luck. And just get out there and have fun, guys. That's what it's all about.
Yep. Yeah, I know. Good luck to those guys, Coach Jamie and Jake. Yeah. Also on the call. Yep. Uriah, we will talk to you soon. Hopefully, thank you for coming on once again. This was honestly one of my favorite interviews ever, man. Hope you have a good night.
Thanks for having
Best
me.
Best interview we've
you
done.
You too, bro.
See you later, you're right, man. Take it easy.
All right, brother.
Later.
Jamie, peace out.
All right, champ.
All right.
There he goes. Uriah Hall, ladies and gentlemen, UFC fighter. Coach Jamie,
Yo.
I try to keep it short, but you almost kind of encouraged me a little bit. I'm going to spread the blame out. You said he was probably in Portland, Oregon, bored. At one point he did thank you for, you know, just giving him something to do. So, hopefully that was pure torture, but thanks.
Well, you know, that's the whole thing. That's the whole fun thing about this podcast anyway, man, is just keeping it real. And, you know, I mean, these guys are just, it's fun to, you know, we were talking about the media, but
I'm not the media.
Yeah. But you know, for people to see the side of some of these guys that I know. You know, they're all genuine people. They're good people, and for guys to really, you know, get an inside perspective of who Uriah Hall is, man, I think it's a good thing. So I was excited to definitely, you know, have him on, and where the interview and everything went, I think was really a good thing.
He better hope he wins a performance of the night bonus in Vegas just so he can pay for his phone bill now.
I'm going to send him some money, to be honest. I'm going to PayPal him some cash just for this appearance. It was an epic interview. He actually did. It was like we referred to it. It was a shoot. Coach Jamie, man, this guy just
– yeah.
He had some real talk with us. Like, but he
Absolutely.
Did say he was
That's
frustrated.
That's Uriah Hall I know. Yeah.
So you've obviously gone to see a couple movies with him. What's the training like? Has that gone down? What's happening?
You know, he's working with Clayton, and as far as I'm concerned, you know, I think Clayton's the best boxing coach in the whole sport of MMA. So, I mean, you know, and not just boxing, but, you know, Clayton has a very mental approach to everything. Like Uriah was saying, he knows what to say at the right time. He knows where Uriah is at without Uriah even needing to tell Clayton. They just kind of have there's kind of a special connection that Uriah and Clayton have, man. So, you know, I mean, he keeps them focused. He keeps them motivated, and he keeps them on track. So, you know, as far as training goes, I haven't been a big piece of it this time. Obviously, I've got a lot of personal things I've been kind of dealing with and getting moving from A to B and whatnot, done. But, from what I have been, down at Rose City a couple weeks ago, Uriah sparring and everything, looks sharp, man. He's on point. He's ready.
Coach, man, you saw the movies Godzilla and Captain America with Uriah Hall. What is your review and your take on these movies, man? I haven't seen either of them, to tell you the truth.
You know, I enjoyed them. They're, you know, neither one of them were Shawshank Redemption or yeah. Castaway. You know what I mean? Yeah, but you no can't Citizen go into Kane Captain America, yeah, or Godzilla expecting that type of a movie. But I enjoyed them. I think at Captain America, I enjoyed a little bit better than I did Godzilla, but they were both good movies. You know, I mean, they could be rentals, but you know, they're also, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours of something to get out of the house, sit down and be entertained. I definitely didn't regret spending the money. I'd do it again.
Awesome. And, yeah, that interview did run extremely long, so we will just wrap this up. Thank you, Coach, man. But tough Brazil finale three that we saw on Saturday, man, the fights. It went down. It happened. Your team, actually, I do want to note that fight of the season for Tough Brazil 3 went to, I don't even know how to pronounce this, Ricardo Abreu versus Bomba, Guilherme Vasconcelos. See, he got $25,000 for that. I don't know if if that actually means $25,000 or if it's just some sort of I don't know how that really works, but supposedly he won fight of the season. Performance of the season award went to Shoeface and Warley Alves for their knockouts and submissions respectively. Another $25,000 to them. But we did see the finale. The headline was Miocic versus Maldonado. What can we say about that that hasn't already been said? But as far as the Tough Brazil finale fights, Coach, Vitor, and Shoeface, Warley Alves, Lyoto were fighting. What did you think? Your overall impression?
You know, starting with Antonio and Vitor's fight, you know, Antonio finishes everybody. He's physically a strong guy, world champion jiu-jitsu. Vitor is just a phenomenon in his own right as well. But, you know, Vitor did such a great job of defending offensively. He didn't really quite pull the trigger on it. He was a little bit more defensive. You know, Antonio had him in a lot of situations, but he was always able to figure out how to defend him. Antonio didn't really do a lot of damage, but I thought it was a great fight. It showed the skill set of both guys. Antonio won the fight. He deserved to win the fight. And I think both of these guys are going to have a bright future going ahead. And as far as Warley and Lyoto, I hate when our guys fight our guys in the finals. This is the second time it's happened. Lyoto is such a dynamic striker, and he really did a great job of keeping Warley at range for 2.5 rounds. Warley was, it's interesting as a coach, one of the things that I've seen it happen, but you know, I'm constantly reminded by it myself, is the importance of confidence in your abilities when it comes into these fights. I absolutely stand behind Bamba and Demetre winning the fight of the fight of the season. But with an honorable mention to Worley's fight to get into the house. He fought a kid, was a number two guy in Brazil, and the guy had a ton of experience. And this is a guy that Worley trained with. This is a guy that, you know, Worley said used to beat him up in the gym. They're friends, but it was a guy that, you know, kind of Worley came up getting beat up by this guy. And for whatever, however it worked out, that was the guy that Worley had to fight to get in. And now, you know, talking to guys, once we figured out who was on the show, the guy that Worley's fought, his name kept coming up. Like, this is the guy you got to pick. This is the guy. This is the number one guy who's going to get picked. And Worley went out there and had a war with this guy. And Worley won the fight. Me and Clayton cornered Worley to get into the house. And we went back, and Chael kind of alluded to this in one of the episodes. He said, you know, he goes, my coach has just kept talking about how I needed to pick this guy. And I think Worley probably went third. I think it was Lyoto, Bamba, and then we might have picked up Worley. And I was glad we got all three of those guys. But, you know, me and Clayton were really big on this guy from the beginning. And most of it was because, one, the fight that he had to get in the house, but also his mental approach to everything. I mean, this is a guy that just, you're not gonna break his will. If you beat him, you're gonna probably have to choke him out somehow, because you're not. This is a kid that if you cut his arm off, he's gonna pick it up and he's gonna start swinging it at you. I mean, he's just physically built different. He's mentally built different. He's so hungry. He wants this so bad. So, you know, Loyoto is being as skilled and amazing and confident as he is too. I knew it was going to be a great fight. It ended up, I was just glad we got three guys in the finals. For us, that was the victory. And then what happened after that was kind of left up to the coaches and the teams that they previously worked with before that we worked with them and whatnot. So it was good, man. It was, if I was there, I probably wouldn't have watched the fight, but I did tune in and watch it here at the house.
Let's face it, Team Sonnen whooped ass in Brazil. That's the bottom line. That is the end result. But coach, the news of the week, I've got to ask you, it's obvious. Vanderlei pretty much pulls out of the fight. There's a revelation that he dodged some sort of drug test. That's I don't know if that's the exact truth, but whatever. Either way, it was obvious that he was not intending to fight Chael Sonnen. The fight is not happening now. They have rescheduled it. Chael Sonnen versus Vitor Belfort. We haven't gotten or heard your take yet. What do you think about Vanderlei? I would ask you all the time. It was like a running joke on the podcast. I would ask people, do you think this fight's actually going to happen between Sonnen and Vanderlei? And, you know, it was all always up in the air, but now it's not. Coach Huey, what do you think about Vanderlei pulling out of the fight? And what do you think about the Vitor matchup, man?
Man, as far as, you know, with the whole Vanderlei thing, it's like, nobody's ever heard me say anything bad about him. I've been on the podcast. You know, we've been doing this since we got off the
show. You've been surprisingly respectful.
You know, I've been very respectful. I like Vanderlei. He was very respectful to me personally. I don't know what to say about this, man. Like, one part of me is disappointed. One part of me is upset. One part of me feels bad for the guy. I don't know why. I mean, it's a train wreck, man. It's amazing. I'm one side of me is really excited. I'm really happy that, you know, Chael goes to I text Chael the night of the tough finale, And I sent him a text, and I said, look at this. I go, you're sitting front row in Brazil at a UFC fight, and they're cheering your name, and the very mention of Vanderlei, his name, and the whole place starts booming. I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Antonio mentioned his name, and the whole place just erupted in boos. And I'm like, wow, what a weird turn of events, man. I'm glad that people really got to see again, much like Uriah tonight, the jail that I know, and the people of Brazil are really taking him, took him in for what he is. I mean, the old saying is judge a guy by his actions, not on his words. And Chael really does a great job of mentoring all those guys over there. As far as the Vitor Belfort fight, it's a tough fight. Vitor is, even to Chael's own admission, was the his opinion was he was a fighter of the year last year. So it's a tough fight, but I have confidence Chael can beat anybody. It doesn't, in MMA, there's so many variables. It doesn't always happen that way. But it's a good fight. I think the real story here is the way Chael conducts himself as a fighter. I mean, Clayton said, he said the same thing to Uriah, and Uriah alluded on it tonight that, this doesn't last forever, man. You can't do this forever. I mean, every once in a while, I'm 40 years old, I'll go into an old boxing gym, Johnny Toko's in Las Vegas or something, and, I'm warming a guy up, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm picturing, man, I wish I was still young enough to wrap my hands and shadow box and get on the jump rope and hit the bag and get a couple rounds in sparring, but the reality of it is I'm 40 years old, and I can't do what I used to do. The thing about Chael is, his career won't last forever, and he's aware of that. But he's making the most of it while he's able to compete at the level he's competing at. I mean, the guy's taken on the greatest fighters in MMA, and you can call him on 2 days' notice, and he'll show up and he'll fight the baddest dude out there. So the fact that, the Vanderlei thing didn't happen and Vitor, having such a great year last year, and Chael stepping up and saying, yeah, sign me up, I'll fight that guy right now. It really speaks to the volume of who Chael is as a person, as a fighter.
It's a tough one, man. He might even, they might even, because of Vanderlei's stupidity and cowardice, they might actually force Chael Sonnen to lose almost 50 pounds to fight Vitor on some technicality. I don't think that's fair. I'm saying it right now, I won't pay to see that fight if they make him do that. That's an obvious setup. I mean, give me a break. You can't make him lose 50 pounds unnoticed because his opponent chickened out. That's not fair.
I'm pretty sure fight will indeed be at 205, but obviously
it hasn't
nothing is set in stone as we know.
It's in his contract. It's in his contract. He said at 205, and I think he can just lean on that.
And it's not that he can't make 85. I mean, It's work, man. I mean, personally, I like Chael fighting at 205 better. But Mike Doce does some amazing stuff with athletes. He's got a system in place and he can get them there. Personally, I like Chael at 205. I just think he's stronger. He just performs better at 205 than he does at 85. But, the thing about Chael is they'll tell him what weight he needs to be, and he'll figure out how to get there, and he'll get on the scale. It's just, he's a professional. It's what he does.
It's just 185 from, he said he was 236 or 232. I forget what it was, but oh, God.
Yeah, 236.
That is just not fair. Like, your opponent chickens out, and now you have to lose an extra 20 pounds. No, I'm sorry. I'm not signing up for that. I won't. I'm saying it right now. I know he's too much of a fighter. Like, I'll fight anybody, anytime, any place.
Company
but
man.
I will not pay money to see this fight if they make this setup happen. I mean, come on, we don't need to stack it for Vitor that much, do we? But neither here nor there. Coach Jamie Huey, the interview with Uriah Hall did run long. I'm not going to lie. But full disclosure, people, it was Coach Jamie he was doing. He did book this guest, this honorable guest, this legend in the making that is Uriah Hall. So, Coach, man, we do have to – we should probably wrap this up, but I do want to give you the last word. Coach, what's going on? What do you hear? What do you say? Where can people find you and contact you if they need to? Where can they harass you? What's going on? What does the audience need to know before we end this?
You know, like always, on Twitter, at Coach Jamie Healy, website, www.coachjamiehealy.com, and then my Instagram is at Coach Jamie, same as my Twitter, and you won't find me on Facebook because I hate Facebook.
Yes, me too, man.
I don't know. I might revisit Facebook. I hate Facebook.
I'm done.
I agree.
It's all exes and babies and marriages.
I can't do it. I can't do it Facebook anymore. Other than that, I'm, you know, currently up here in Portland. I will be down in Las Vegas, shortly, just kind of wrapping up some personal business up here. On some cars and getting ready to relocate. Be down at the Fan Expo.
Are you okay with reffing the Yao versus Allen rematch fight?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that'll be fun. Yeah, I'm going to
get a ref in there.
I'm going to get Stacey. I'm going to ask her. I'll reach out to her this week. See if she's, I think she's available. Actually, I'm cornering a Muay Thai kickboxing event that Friday, the day before Uriah's fight. So we'll have to come up with either Friday during the day or a couple days before, a couple days after.
Yeah. We'll
get
flexible.
Yeah, we'll get it all. You know, I'll have her maybe come out. She can help wrap hands and work cuts. If, I don't know how serious this is going to get.
Yeah,
you know,
let's get her on the show for
WWE,
a follow-up.
And guys got razor blades in their shorts or what? Yep. But
we already came up with the rules, and what we decided was we're going to go with the 10-ounce the MMA sparring gloves. Where they actually have like the padded MMA, you know, gloves, but you don't have to wrap the hands.
A full contact MMA rule.
No elbows and no knees. That way there probably won't be any serious cuts.
We're talking competitive sparring.
But now you have a cut girl being there, I mean, maybe we should open it up.
I mean, we could. I'm open to it. It's just, you know, we have to make sure Yao agrees because I don't.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want anybody bleeding.
I don't think Yao trains with the same type of fighters that I train with on a daily basis. So I'm not sure if he's used to getting hit. I mean,
oh shit,
Yao. Uh-oh. I mean, my coach is Dustin Poirier, was one of his corner men and is one of his main sparring partners. So I got the shit beat out of me today by him.
I think Yao has both Grappler's Quest and the IBJJF Summer Open like within 2 or 3 weeks after this competition. So I'm pretty sure Yao is going to be pretty against getting cut open and maybe missing a few tournaments.
Yeah, because
we'll
I got one on the 28th as well in Mississippi. So.
Yeah. Oh, geez. So many fights booked. We'll get it figured out. But yeah, Coach Jamie.
Yeah, we'll have some fun with it, man. We'll definitely have some fun with it. You guys show up with some cameras, and we'll make it a good.
It's going to stream.
We'll make
live.
It fun.
Yeah, for damn sure, it's going to stream live. As God is my witness. But yeah, Coach Jamie, man, can't thank you enough. Thanks for getting your eye haul back on. Thanks for doing what you're doing. Checking up with us. Congratulations on winning Tup Brazil 3. Not enough people. Where's the recognition? You know what I'm saying? Not enough people are recognizing. Holy shit.
This is it right here, honestly. The recognition is having guys like Uriah Hall and Bamba and Kelvin and all the people that we've had on this podcast. The recognition really is, you know, all the glitz and the glamour and all that stuff is fun for a little while. It's nice to be recognized for your hard work, but really the friendships, the people you meet, that's the best part of all this stuff. You know, all that other stuff goes away. It's temporary. It doesn't last forever, but,
Yep. having, and that's why I've all, I mean, you know, this podcast, I think has always been so much fun and important, because, you know, having Uriah on tonight, I mean, you could even, he's getting something out of this, you know, he was enjoying kind of talking about, you know, what, where he's at and what he's doing.
Real
and,
shit.
And
yeah.
That's it, man. You know, this is, for me, this is really, this is the best part of it. You know, I might bitch and complain about, you know, being disrespected by esports and, you know, make some jokes about it. But in the big scheme of it, man, I wouldn't trade the friendships and the people that I've been able to get close to for any of it. That for me is really the biggest payoff.
Yeah, man. I can't thank you enough again for putting that together. Uriah Hall, that story he told about Tito at the Halloween party, that was horrific. Like,
yeah, it was a good one.
Oh my
yeah.
God. So thank you for bringing that to the table. But yeah, Uriah Hall and Coach Jamie Huey, both guests on the Word in the Street podcast. Can't thank them enough. Coach Jamie, hopefully we'll talk to you in about a week here. Yep, but who knows?
Absolutely.
It's getting busy. But yeah, we will. I don't even have to tell you, man. We're friends. We're going to keep in touch. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Coach Jamie Huey, thank you. Hope you have a good night. And take it easy.
All right,
man.
Guys. All right. We'll talk to you in a week.
Yep. Have a good one.
Okay. Bye. All right, bye.
There he goes, people. Coach Jamie, the living legend, Huey, on the Warden Street podcast. After Team Sonnen fighter alumnus Uriah Hall, UFC fighter. He just retired. Chris Lieben on the stool. Good interview. Good people. Jake, Alan, Ninja, you guys are still left. Let's say goodbye in that order. Jake, man, what's happening? What do you hear? What do you say? Let's start sending this shit out.
Yeah, that was a fucking amazing interview. I'm really glad we were able to get Uriah on. Shit, we had him on for 2 hours, but honestly, it was a super entertaining 2 hours.
I feel bad.
You can find us at the MMA Podcast. We got Aljamain Sterling on soon, like I said during the interview. Wayne Barrett on soon. Follow us at the MMA Podcast.
And that's the bottom line.
Hell yeah. Officer Allen, you're going to fight Yao. But other than that, or whatever the fuck you want to say, man. Officer Allen, go on. Where can people find you, contact you, this and that, yada yada?
Don't worry about finding me or contacting me. Just wait till July and wait and see.
Ninja, what do you got to say, man? My co-producer, alive, still kicking, man. Any shout-outs, anything you want to say before we wrap this sucker up?
If you don't want to follow the ninja, then I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Bad news.
Because the ninja will change your life. Shout out to my brother, my mentor, my all. I love the guy to death, Henzo Gracie. Follow him. He's a life-changing guy. Thank you to everybody on here. You guys are awesome as always. Follow me on Twitter, at the Gracie Ninja. It's awesome. Thanks, guys.
As God is my witness, Word in the Street podcast. Sorry we didn't get to
shout out Yao the Truth. Shout out the Jew, the bastard son, Ross Finkelstein. Shout out to Hornswoggle. I'm sorry, Ramses.
Next time. No, you got it. Next time, people. Word on the
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best? Or you're gonna shut it for you real quick. L.O.B.